And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, November 19th, 2009, the deer melting episode. Don't forget to check us out over at Colony of Gamers at the forums over there for us. Also, you can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can call us, 201-7-In-Game, and you can tweet us at In-Game Chat. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I am Jeremy.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
Look at that, full group. Congratulations.
Achievement, what are we talking unlocked.
About? Yes. It's been a while since we have Dennis. Welcome back. What are we talking about?
Oh, let's see here. Assassin's Creed 2, Left 4 Dead 2, what we played, tweets, emails, voicemails, a little bit more Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, a little bit more Call of Duty 4. You should have just committed to the rhyme. it was actually pretty cool.
And 2012.
2012. Guess what?
It's a piece of shit.
It really is. Name of the episode. Anyway.
I don't know that.
Well, they will later.
Well, they do now.
Well, they do now.
Now the suspense is gone. Now everybody just turned the episode off because they don't care anymore.
You know what's weird? During this intro here recording, I already came up with other names for the episode. Who knows what this episode will be called? Probably the deer melting episode. But anyway, enjoy. And, yeah.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
If you're ever recording a video of some stuff, record once the stuff starts happening. Don't record the options screen. Don't record the start menu. Do not motherfucking record the part where you set your controls. Record the part where stuff happens. That's all I'm saying. That's all I really want from you.
I would figure that, you know, video editing is kind of commonplace now, but...
I mean, I guess. I don't know. That's whatever.
Not for some people.
Yeah.
I still want to see that shot. Like, you know, if the thing is the, here's the video of this happening, man, you need to jump right to the fucking money shot. Don't... You know, I don't mind a little bit of context, but... I don't want to look at you in the lobby, man. I don't want to see what you're doing in the lobby. I don't want to watch you selecting stuff. I want to watch you doing the thing that your fucking YouTube clip is named for. That's what I want
to
see.
First, you have to watch 10 minutes of it installing to the hard drive.
Man, you say that shit like it's a fucking joke. It's not a joke. What was wrong with you?
What was it you were trying to watch?
None of your business.
All right, fine.
Porn? I don't know. Global thermonuclear war porn.
Not bad.
One of the many, I found a secret in Modern Warfare 2 game modes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That the PC guys have, you know.
How wonderful that plan went.
Man, they've gone to town like Butcher Pete on that shit. They really have, dude. Been chopping that meat for a solid week now. It's bearing some twisted and really interesting fruit, but it's whatever. It's the footage of the detonate the nuke Modern Warfare 2 mode. Mm. I don't know. I haven't done my research. What do you want from me?
Just your ideas and opinions.
Yeah, right. I'll work on that. If this fucking video ever finishes, I might have an opinion. It's an interesting... Like, I don't know how this was supposed to work. Can't be arsed to read about it, so. But there it is. What do you think about them hack servers? That still report as,
as ranked?
As ranked servers to IWAR. That's pretty, yeah.
So it was like,
someone's for IW, man.
Yeah.
How well did that go, you know?
Well, I mean... Let's be fair, they are, it is all, like, hackified, so they don't, I don't know, I want to give them, like, too much crazy credit for doing something just and amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's basically just, it's mud in Infinity Ward's eye, that's right. All it is. So, I think it's neat. I think it's kind of cool. God, that was boring. Here's another rule. If your shit's boring, don't put it on YouTube. It's not that bad.
Well, you're he's fucked on that rule. Yeah, he's totally fucked.
Being informative. That's all he was doing.
Regardless of game videos or anything else, if your shit's boring, don't put it on YouTube.
Yeah, I know.
No quality control right there.
Well, that's good. Did you play Modern Warfare?
No, I didn't.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No?
Not yeah. Something I was terribly excited about.
Well, that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean...
Unless you really like Hydro Thunder, then you missed a lot.
I mean, I'm kind of interested in, I would like to do the multiplayer, but I'm...
No, you wouldn't, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you never played either of them, not one or two.
No.
Yeah. I didn't remember you playing one.
I'm not... So it's fun. Whatever. People enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. I think it's missing kind of a lot. I think that they I think they crammed it full of shit that it didn't need. I think that Modern Warfare was really good. Really good multiplayer and didn't need everything they did to it. You know, it didn't need a lot of the changes to the weapons, which I think sort of sent it to a strange place.
Yeah.
And a lot of the perks and upgrades and particularly the kill streak bonuses is whatever. It's not for me. Like, whatever. I just don't care for it. I'd rather go look at YouTube clips of Bad Company 2 and get a boner over that, because like, that shit's really nice.
Well, you won't have to do that anymore, because you've got a code!
Yeah, for the PS3 version.
Yes.
Like, that gives me a little softwood. But the hard stuff, man, the real hickory comes for the PC version.
A little teak. Language, Audrey.
You finished both games, right, Scott?
I did. I finished them back to back.
You did? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, mostly because you said I couldn't do it.
I said you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, you said
it.
Well,
and I'm pretty sure I said you wouldn't do something else.
That's Borderlands.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I think I'm still pretty right about that.
You are so far. Yeah. Yes.
There's plenty else to do.
Especially when I discovered, Assassin's Creed 2, which we'll get into later. Uh-huh. It'll be a while before I get back to Borderlands.
I'm interested in what your impressions were playing 1 and 2 back to back.
I really liked 1.
Yeah?
I did like 1. I liked 1. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, my opinions are kind of shit when it comes to formulating them. But, so when I say I really liked the first one, I really did like it. And, yeah. Had some moments where I got some frustrations. I can't remember what they were because Modern Warfare 2 did a good job of topping those in my moments of frustration. At the outset, from just the way that I got shot, and we've gone over this before with how the jelly goes up in your face. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the raspberry.
Yes. The level design, as far as the beginning, there's a certain point in the game, I think, that both me and James came to, and he may have mentioned this on the last episode, I don't know, but...
Yeah, and I don't remember a lot of that, because remember, I was the only guy that finished
it
as the last time.
And I remember we talked about it on the way to the movie, too, so it's kind of hard to remember what we
said. Yeah, I had to hold
back
on a lot, so if we, as always, if we kind of reach red ground, it's because, Scott and Jeremy hadn't done this yet, so I was trying to hold back a little bit.
There's a certain point that it became better for me.
Yeah.
Better in a sense that... I still wasn't really liking what was going on, but it was just less frustrating.
For you, it was...
For me, it was the oil tanker.
It was the oil rigs, actually.
The oil rigs on end, with some junk put in there in between. I can't remember, but from the oil rigs on through, I was like, all right, I feel better now about what I'm playing. I was really close to not wanting to go very much further within, I think, the second mission.
Yeah.
Whichever one puts you in the goddamn village. And it's just motherfuckers everywhere.
Yeah, man. That's funny, because that's the same point I came to. With the little shanty town, mm-hmm. All around you. Yeah.
That was in Rio.
I was playing normal mode. And
I was playing easy.
I was playing normal up to that point.
Yeah.
And the last time we recorded, I had made it to that point, and there were guys just coming out from all around. And, you'd... kill a bunch of guys in a particular area and think you could put your back to it and be safe to shoot the guys that were swarming in from the other side. But as soon as you do that, somebody'd walk up from behind you.
And it was pretty bad. Again, so, we're retreading ground, but what a complete waste of a level in that fucking airport terrorist shoot the civilians section.
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. We'll go back to that. But go ahead.
When I went back and played some more, got past that part and made it up to the bit where you see old boy climbing the buildings and you can hear the guy over your headset telling you need to chase him, not kill him or whatever, you need to catch him alive. And then trying to make my way back around there, I had my ass handed to me several more times, and finally I was like, I'm just not having any fun.
I was not having any fun.
I'll turn it down to easy, and if I still can't get through this, I'm pretty much done.
I didn't know...
I did get through it, and so... I finished the game on easy, but yeah, man, it does take a really, really weird turn there, doesn't it?
Did you find a point where it was like, I feel better now about what I'm playing? You know, in a sense that you were feeling...
There were moments where I had fun.
Okay.
I had an awful lot of fun when the Ruskies were like parachuting in, you know, over the U.S. and you're like going through the suburbs and...
Man, I hated.
I hated that level.
I thought that was absolutely the picture of poor level design.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Five fucking Russians hiding behind the Saab in the garage, made it for the sole purpose of shooting me. Mm-hmm. Nothing else, just me. Made no sense.
Of course, by this point, I was on easy. So.
Oh well,
you know.
I don't know that it made any difference. Didn't change a damn thing for me.
Really?
I just didn't. It wasn't. It wasn't hard. It was just not good. Like, those two are entirely separate things for me. And I thought that was probably the low point of the game. Because that, it was just so nonsensical.
From there, well, I already knew it was coming. So, you know, I had already written off the thing making any sense a while back. But I had fun in that. Basically, any of the levels that took place in the United States.
Mm-hmm. You had fun with?
I had fun with those.
Fuck.
But almost nothing else, and the game felt more like it was trying to be some sort of Tom Clancy-esque plot.
There's a quote I used out of that Modern Warfare, the PC thread.
Yeah.
It's as though, oh shit, I'll have to go back and find it, but I won't get it verbatim, but it's like as though they took Tom Clancy, mixed it with James Bond, and then snorted crack and wrote a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would, if I were going to send anybody to a collection of opinions, Jeremy would probably agree with me on this. I think I bring them up all the time, but I think the rock, paper, shotgun treatment was not positive, but it was extremely fair. Mm-hmm. Multiplayer played no part. It was about the PC version, I suppose, but... The effort was entirely focused on the single player
game. But if it's a single
game,
player, it doesn't matter, right?
It's a single player game. Well, it does, though. See, it does. And he makes some very, very good points, draws very distinctive parallels to the conflict design in the game, how the individual firefights and how the levels themselves are designed, and how this is clearly from a family of thought, from a school of thought, not to be petty, but... That really puts it in the realm of tactical one-shot, one-kill shooters. Like, you know, Ghost Recon or Rainbow Six or something like that. It puts it into the realm of a tactical combat shooter that requires finer-tuned squad control, a cover mechanism, and the ability to lean. But what they give you are the gameplay tools of Doom. And in that respect, you know, there are a lot of things, I don't know, it just feels like those things had always been there on the PC, so you could kind of understand that he was being specific to it in that regard, since it is a PC site.
Right.
But overall, his review is an extremely interesting read without being, he had kind of washed himself of all the vitriol.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really just a lot of honesty there.
Trying to look at it completely objectively and saying, let me come from this from a clean
perspective.
Even though
that's even though that's honestly their place to not necessarily be objective. But
right.
It's an excellent read, and I think it's probably the most well-rounded but still very negative point of view on the subject, and I would really suggest everybody take a look at it, because he actually brings up some things that I never thought to bring up, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about how much I don't like the game. So it still surprises me, though, that you would like that. I was totally...
It wasn't because the game got any better in those areas. I just enjoyed the setting so much.
See, I thought the setting was such a miss. I thought it was such a terrible, painful whiff. Like, they were really... I knew what they were trying to do. You're trying to Red Dawn me here.
Yeah.
Because you got my demographic nailed to a tree. You know? You know what I like. You know, all I need is the voices of, like, Patrick Swayze. and Charlie Sheen, you know, and somebody screaming Wolverines, you know, and like a little bit of snow, and there you go. Like, I'm there. You know, I'm like 9 years old again. But the what they had just didn't, it just didn't work for me. You know, it was, I don't know. I just didn't like it. And, you know, Burger Town, horse shit nonsense, and like, it was all stupid. I think that they finally, after that, they really owned the absurdity. Like, they just completely embraced wherever they had originally chosen to go. And so some interesting things happened, even if they were just completely preposterous. But this is just so far from being a Call of Duty game, except for the apparently requisite storming of the Reichstag. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What was your play time? Do you know?
I don't know. I
5 hours or something?
Probably.
I don't mind. I looked at it.
Would you have like two sittings? Beat in two sittings?
Yeah.
Mine was 4 hours and 48 minutes.
Yeah.
One easy.
You made an excellent point, though, the other day that, and you didn't, you referenced it on the last show, but never mentioned specifically what it was. It was, that the real controversy in the game isn't the...
I didn't want to say this because it would have spoiled something.
Right, yeah. Right.
And this is something that did not make any sense to me. If you pay real attention, and I'm sorry for stepping all over like something you may eventually play, Dennis, but, you know.
It's all right.
Tough shit.
Yeah.
You got better stuff at home right now anyway.
Exactly. So,
you know the obvious controversy.
Yeah.
The no Russian level.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know the details of that level, but...
Bits and pieces.
It's a fail level is what it is. Like, when you get down to it, it's a totally fail level.
It's completely devoid of the impact that it was trying for.
It even makes an effort to eradicate the impact that it may have had by turning into a different kind of level toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it only serves the purpose of catapulting you toward certain really absurd story points later on. But the whole thing is that you just murder a bunch of civilians, or you are present.
They try to make you feel bad about it, but because there's no build-up to it, they just throw you in the middle of it, and all of a sudden, like, the guys you're with open fire on them, you're like, oh, okay. I guess this is
the level that's got everybody, like, in a...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to walk through the airport, and they're all shooting guys. It doesn't matter if you shoot them or not. I mean, they're going to die anyway.
And you're going to die anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, apparently, like, in the end, there's nothing you can do. You die anyway. So... Yeah, it's a complete mess. It didn't have the effect. And people are like, it's necessary for the story, but it wasn't anything that hasn't been covered in any previous game in a cutscene. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't necessary. That's not to say that they shouldn't have put it in just because it was bad game design. I think bad storytelling. I don't think they shouldn't have put it in because they were. You know, people were offended. I think that's bogus. I think it's something else the RPS guy said. It was as unnecessary as whatever. I'm trying to paraphrase. It was bad, but there was the position that it shouldn't be in the game is as indefensible as the position that it should have been in the game.
It's
a null argument either way.
The genuine controversy about that level is what a piece of shit level it was. Not that you killed a bunch of civilians. I still maintain that I felt no impact. Maybe it's because I knew about it, maybe not. Maybe because I have a healthy psyche and I fully understand how ridiculous the scenario is. It doesn't matter to me. The thing I thought was most interesting is if we're going to adopt a controversy, in the broader media, and the broader media have already had some amount of fun talking about this level, mm-hmm. more than I would expect, given the fact that they were all talking about it in a pre-release state. Usually they don't figure out, you know, the rape simulator du jour until a little while after it's been out.
3, 6, 9 months later.
Yeah. But the thing that I thought was most interesting, there's this very oddball twist, and again, entirely Tom Clancy in its... in the absurdity or in the grandiose plot twists and everything that you experience. For reasons that I can't even fully explain, you're betrayed by a top commander in the U.S. military, a general, an army general in the U.S. military, and he apparently goes rogue with an unnamed and unknowable number of his own troops. It basically takes like a whole, I don't know what the hell generals have exactly, I should, but you know, like a whole brigade of troops with him or something. And they basically just take a piss all over everything. I don't know. That they've had, he has had a major influence on shaping this war that you're in. For reasons that don't make a whole lot of sense. So he can be a war hero, I guess. And as revenge against the Russians for the events in Modern Warfare 1. Or whatever. The point is that it's not very believable, but whatever. We're already, you know, playing Moonraker or something. So, may as well, yeah? The problem is that I can believe that this guy is evil. But this unmentionable number of troops he has with him, this is not Foxhound. This is not some mercenary force. This isn't a nameless PMC or an unidentifiable third world sand-dwelling random, you know, brown-shirted army. These are United States Army troops. These are Americans. And for the last third of the game, they're your fucking enemy. And you kill them constantly. Maybe the last quarter of the game. I don't know. But you spend a significant amount of time as... McTavish and Price murdering U.S. troops. And I'm like, okay, again, I don't feel especially bad because I get what's going on here, but why aren't we complaining about this? If we're complaining about things because of our sensitivities, because of the specific sensitivities we have, and the way that as Americans we have a tendency to how we react to certain blows in the media... Very sensitive about the troop situation. Very sensitive about our service people right now. And a video game, an American video game, has us murdering lots of American soldiers who aren't ever put in the light of being bad guys. Their boss is a bad guy. But...
They don't know what you've gone through.
I mean, maybe they do. It doesn't matter. There's just... almost like... You know, it's not even like The Rock, where these guys are all ex-military mercenaries who ostensibly have some kind of political agenda.
Except for that one point where you threw your...
Except for the point when you're in the fucking showers.
Yeah. I forgot about that one, too.
While we're stealing from other stuff. But that's what I just thought was funny. It's like, I don't need more controversy. I'm just like, how come... Why aren't we acting like this is weird, too? Because that's kind of a weird... It's kind of a weird decision.
Yeah. But...
We kill a bunch of Russian civilians.
They didn't.
We're killing a bunch of U.S. soldiers.
They also didn't shine a light on it. You know?
No, they didn't.
They really didn't. So if you... And it's real easy to just sort of drift back into this place of, hey, wait a minute, I'm a guy with a uniform and a gun, and he's a guy with a uniform and a gun. It's all good, you know? Because we're comfortable with that. And I don't even think it needed to be a controversy. I just don't understand how they're chosen. Because this seemed like as equally... an interesting controversy if I was an animatronic shitbag behind a desk on a TV station, you know? So
maybe they just didn't make it far enough into the game.
They might not have. It might have been pointless. It's too far behind the veil of the first controversy, so it's impenetrable. I don't know. Also, you know, the final boss is Liquid Campbell, and I think that's hilarious. He's the old general dude, man. You're like too, like... rough and tumble, badass, combat proven, no holds barred, nothing to lose, SAS, rock eaten, you know, muscles in your shit, motherfuckers. And this old man who crashes in a helicopter beats the fucking tar out of both of you. Really? It's only because of after being stabbed in the heart, falling off of a thing, like a waterfall thing, half drowned, punched in the face, and left for dead. Thankfully, my knife throwing skills are as accurate as they've ever been, and I'm able to hit him in the left nostril from 20 feet away, you know, while my aorta is split in two or something. Whatever, it was fucking insane. But by that point, it was actually interesting. So. It was a hell of a thing, man. It was a hell of a thing. I could never recommend against playing it, ever, under any circumstances, because it's so... If you've never played a Call of Duty game, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, don't play this. It's not especially good. If you have, then you have to see it. It's so fucking weird.
It's just so out there, you absolutely have to experience it.
Yes, absolutely. It's crazy shit, man. Totally crazy shit, but whatever. You know, it's obviously... I don't know. There it is. It's doing what it's doing. Making epic money and... Yeah. Doing all of its thing. I think, you know, and I think the PC saga is going to be interesting for a minute. Days after the event, they had hacked servers.
Yeah.
Like, cheat-filled servers. Not just we hacked and made legitimate, dedicated servers that are reporting as legitimate servers. No, like, we're all playing Jumping Flash Rocket Arena, and it's reporting as a legitimate server. That's actually what it is.
Jumping Flash.
Yeah, man. So, whatever, it's there, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's already so much other shit. And I'm not even joking, like, you know, feeling at the back of your mouth when you taste something really savory, like, that's what's happening in my soul when I think about Bad Company 2. So, I'm already excited for that, but, I mean, and whatever, today is the 19th, so,
yeah.
Theoretically, our PS3... beta should kick off tonight. I'm gonna get my code entered and see if I can get into some of that.
Yeah,
did you watch the newest video?
Fuck no. You're such a asshole. No, I have not. Came out today though, right?
Yes.
I saw that it had come out today, but I did not have time to watch it.
There was a little bit of discussion of it on the COG forums. Some of which I don't necessarily understand. I mean, I guess I kind of do. Like, all the videos have been about multiplayer so far, and I think some people were maybe wanting to hear a little bit about the single player, which is cool, except for the fact that you got to be out of your mind not to sell a Battlefield game from the multiplayer angle.
Yeah.
Seeing as how that's what they are. And that's really, like, that's the pitch right now, you know? Like...
Well, let's say, weren't they out there saying, we're going to have
dedicated service. No, oh, God, yes. That's exactly how you swing it right now. You take all of the angst about Modern Warfare 2, and you use that for some of your own spin, you know? Which is, that's perfectly fine. But the videos are really, really good, and I wonder this time if 2 is going to have a lot more attention than 1. Well, I don't see how it couldn't.
Yeah.
1 was a little bit, it flew very much under the radar. I don't think a lot of people really had taste for it, and it was only, what, 6 months, 7 months after Modern Warfare? When it came out? Came out in June.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. I was thinking of this summer, and that's completely wrong.
No, yeah, it was like June of 08, so.
Yeah.
But a better game in a lot of ways, though, but still weird. Still wonky. Matchmaking was not really very good. That's something they need to fix. They can fix the matchmaking and friend invites and the squads, because like it was like 12-on-12, and each team had like 3 squads. And all comms were limited to your squad, not your team.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little weird. It's clearly probably won't be a problem on the PC, but just because you have alternate methods of taking care of stuff. But it made for some weird shit, you know, on the console. It was still great game once you kind of got your feet under you and figured out what was going on. But I guess it's pretty obvious that 2 is going to have a hell of a lot more attention than 1 did from the community, just for obvious reasons. But I don't know. It's really, there seem to be a lot of people who are interested in it. And I, like, speaking specifically about, I think, like, the first video they released a while back is fairly representative of the game.
Yeah, that one I've seen. That one I've
watched. The second video both is and isn't. And I realized that as much as I like the game, and I'm sure to like too, a lot of these videos really suck. Because, well, they do. The old arguments used to be like, is this gameplay or is this not gameplay? Are you using, you know, real-time assets with pre-rendering, or is this a scripted sequence? Are you playing this on extraordinarily advanced hardware to give an unrealistic advance expectation of what the textures could look like, all this other shit?
Yeah.
Well, so many videos now are about multiplayer, and it's a little harder to believe that technically speaking, what you're seeing is unrealistic. That the poly counts, that the texture, different texture resolutions or the design of the textures, that literally what you're seeing in the running around and the doing of whatever is unrealistic. It's hard to believe. The problem is, I watched that second video and I've played a shit ton of Battlefield games and itself a shit ton of Bad Company. And what happens in that video is not something that happens. It does not happen. It's very clean, it's very canned, and it's designed to show you a specific thing. But it is in a multiplayer environment, but it's very clearly very, or at least to some degree, really scripted in terms of what everybody did. I won't say that they were necessarily using bots or anything, but the scenarios simply weren't realistic. They look good. They're good on TV. But what each of the individual people was doing was not realistic. The finale, the climax being that, like, you know, guy basically runs through the streets, like, shoots some guys with a sniper rifle, never really bothers to take cover or anything, just kind of moving through the streets, standing behind a tank, which isn't especially advisable since when they blow up, you have a tendency to blow up, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. That wasn't bad or anything. And he certainly wasn't no-scoping. Like, that wasn't happening, but... the bit was they ran into a room where the gold crates are, and you have to like blow the gold crates up and get the contents of it. And so one guy sets the C4 on the crates, and then the sniper guy, which I thought was very interesting, he was a sniper with C4 with debt charges, which was always for the spec ops, but I know they're shaking stuff up a lot. They're changing how the classes are operating and how the perks and stuff operate. So he like throws some charges around the building, because their destructible environments and their destructible structures are a key selling point of this. And they were good in Bad Company, but they're getting extremely good in Bad Company too. Like, you could blow out all the walls and blow out the roof and everything of a building, but you'd never destroy the load-bearing parts of the structure, you know? You'd never literally bring a building down.
Okay.
You can do that in two. So he, like, throws, like, three packs of C4 around the room, and then they run out and across the road and just kind of stand behind a little barrier. And then as soon as they turn around, like, three guys come up from a ramp. Two guys from a ramp, I think, and then one guy from somewhere else. Just one dude, two dude, three dude, all straight into the building. Nobody shooting at them. Nobody doing anything like that. And then he, like, blows it up and brings a structure down on top of them and stuff. It was a nice little scene, but there were a lot of qualities in how it played out that just aren't realistic. Bad Company is extremely chaotic, and the events don't usually take place like that, which is to say they're actually much more tense, and there's always, where's the support assholes calling in the mortar strikes? Like, where are the guys who are going out of their way to blow walls out of every single structure just in case somebody might be hiding behind them? Shit like that. Like, it was a little too, I don't know, formal, cordial. It was like, it was, man. It wasn't just as like, there wasn't enough, you know, they weren't getting butt-sexed enough. That's
too
all.
Too much like they're going out to a dinner party.
Yeah, it was just like, it was all very clean and it looked good. And it looked like a neat scene from a movie, not like what actually happens in the game. And that's to say nothing of the moron who can't drive the tank and gets it stuck on a tree stump or some shit, you know? And then you all die when the helicopter comes over and, like, you know, shoves a hellfire up your ass or something like that. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what my obsession with asses is tonight. About a lovely beta, whatever. I could not be more excited for the game. Like, PS3 beta starting today, hopefully. I don't know what the date is for the PC beta, but that's far more exciting. I know how the motherfucker works on the console, you know, and so I can just compare the differences. I have no idea how the shit is supposed to be on the PC, except for the fact that it's apparently going to be a DX11 game.
Really?
Yeah, all the Frostbite 2 tech is going to be DirectX 11, which is, you know, thanks a lot, fucking electronics market or whoever the fuck is responsible for not allowing there to be more 5850s on store shelves for less than $300, for within $50 of their supposed, you know, their shelf price or whatever. I don't know. It pissed me off. I'm ready to get a DirectX 11 card really bad. So, I don't know. That shit's really good. That shit's, like, really hot. And that's what everybody needs to be doing, is looking forward to that. Because I want a lot of people to play with. And go and get it on the console, because I'm going to have to fucking buy it on the console. Because Dana loves it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Bad company. She thought it was great. But, I mean, if they're releasing on the PC.
I know. Yeah, I know where you'll be.
I'll be both places, probably.
Yeah, you will.
Assuming you guys want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I join in. Depends, you know, time is just the issue for me.
Yeah.
As is with Saul.
What is that? It's March, right?
March, the beginning of.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you what just got posted on Joystick. Apparently, the PS2 is finally seeing official release in Brazil.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, for the low, low price of the equivalent of $461.
That's awesome.
Damn.
All right. So, that it?
Yeah.
Is it time for a break already?
I don't think so.
No?
You don't know.
I don't know.
When do you ever call the breaks? You don't call the fucking breaks.
Well, it's not time now.
All right.
Whatever.
What are we talking about now?
Come on. You know what to do. We doing this again?
One day.
God, it's so hard. No fucking video games have come out this week. Nothing interesting has happened in the past 7 fucking days. What the hell am I going to talk about? I don't know. Well, it turns out there weren't any fucking movies either. Not a goddamn thing has taken place in the last 7 fucking days. Oh, I don't fucking know what the hell to talk about.
One day he's going to make me cry.
I just want to play up the fact that everybody believes that Scott and I have a weird relationship.
The entire time he's doing that, I'm going back to the comments and Actually, I was trying to watch that video while you were talking about it, but for some reason it was not loading up very fast.
And I don't want you to do it right there because you need to hear it, because that's, you know.
Yeah,
well,
it's got commentary or something with it, yeah.
Fuck the commentary.
Yeah.
It's got the best sound any multiplayer game has ever had, ever. Bad Company's got, like, seriously, seriously well-designed sound.
Hey, a sniper. Is he sniping a tank?
Yeah, that's actually legitimate.
Wow. Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, this has got some grit to it, like you were saying. It's, I like that.
I mean, everything you're seeing visually is representative. It's just like this guy right here. This guy right here. Go to the door, I'm just walking down the steps. You know, it's just like,
oh wow,
they're not getting fucked up enough.
He is throwing that shit all over that building. He's walking away.
Matches just don't work like that.
Turn around and watch. 1, 2 3 Boom. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good sell right there.
I don't want to say that shit like that won't happen. It's just not, in my opinion, it's not literally how these things work. There's not enough crazy-ass chaos going on there. And maybe those don't make for good sell videos. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But regardless, I would say that it's pretty factual in terms of, you know, the building blocks of what you saw. Good fucking clip.
Yeah. Tell you what, let's take a break and. No, I
just need to watch a video.
No, I use the fact that RJ is now waiting for us to let him in outside. So okay. We'll take a break and then come back. We'll have RJ. We'll talk about the games we played, maybe a movie we saw. If we didn't want to go there, but yeah.
Why not? It's something to bash on.
Well, we should have just bookended it behind Modern Warfare 2 if we're just going to go for absurdity and just.
I'm making a sandwich here.
And now a peek into the universally acclaimed internet audio whimsy, the Fudcast.
So I'm going to the mall to go get a game, and I'm wandering around, and I decided on getting a copy of Animal Crossing. So I take the game over to the guy, and he's trying not to laugh at me. So I ask him, hey, dude, what's the problem? And he's like, nothing, you just look a little old to be in the third grade.
Wow, apparently he knows what a lot of third graders like, I guess. I don't know. What'd you tell him?
I told him I hoped his mother died like those guys in Indiana Jones.
Which guys?
When they open the ark.
Oh my god. Yeah, hopefully.
Fudcast. In-depth game analysis every other Sunday at gameradio.us.
Because it's fun when I don't have to be the professional broadcaster.
Too late.
Give that job to somebody else. Hey, RJ, how you doing?
Good. Much so.
I'm all right. Nice to meet you.
Everybody else doing okay?
No. Look like I'm doing okay?
I have to ask RJ now that he's here. How was that Bayonetta demo you got?
Oh, it was beautiful if I had an Xbox 360 to play it on.
Bingo!
That's right. Yeah,
motherfucker passed. Won him the... See, one. How many people Sega, are they giving that to? Like 40,000 people?
Sega Pass had this offer to give out 40,000 codes to access to the Bayonetta demo.
On the 360.
On the 360.
Gee, so he knew this. He knew this going in.
Yeah. I knew it going in.
Need to borrow a 360?
If I ever got it, I could give it to someone else here and see how they'd like it.
Need to borrow a 360?
No. I'll just give it to one of y'all and let y'all play it.
He's still that determined not to play ever play a 360.
That's
like,
cool.
Nah.
Fine. Whatever. That's fine. I was just trying to be friendly.
One of us will download it. You just come over and play it there.
Sure.
Because I know you want to get your hands on it.
Was that?
Let's give it to Ramsey.
Me?
Yeah, because he's more likely to go over your place than either of ours.
I haven't been over my place in a long time.
That's because you have a little tiny baby at your house.
That's why nobody's been over to my house.
I know.
But like he stopped coming long before that. So.
You were over there not even that long ago.
I'm waiting for the go ahead from you. That's what I'm.
Oh, look at there.
Yeah, I'm waiting for like the old clear signal.
Oh, Jeremy popped a flare. It's good to go.
Right now we get anywhere near there, it's like.
Yeah, well, congratulations on
winning. By the time that happens, Bayonetta may be out.
The game you can't play.
Right.
What did you play?
I spent this week playing Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and I went to the video store to try to get Assassin's Creed 2, but couldn't get it because they didn't have it, so I rented Borderlands instead. Got hold of that. Played those two throughout this week.
Did you play Assassin's Creed 1?
Hmm?
Did you play the first Assassin's Creed?
No.
You absolutely
should play the first Assassin's Creed.
Do not play 2. Play 1.
Actually,
yeah.
I think I have... Yeah. When I bought my my PS3 from Doe, it had the Assassin's Creed 1 disc in it.
Oh.
I played it on the 360 because I played it before I had a PS3. So I'll bring you that disc.
Okay.
It's in general, we'll obviously get to it in a little bit. 2 is supposed to be an improvement over 1, although I think a lot of us would still think that we all liked 1.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot more than most people did. We did not have the same problems with it most people did. I can kind of acknowledge it as not being perfect. And I can say, yeah, the thing you're complaining about did exist, but it just was like, it was nothing to me. But you do not play 2 without 1. Do not do it. It will not make any sense. The setting will not make any sense. Yeah, they'll teach you how to play and stuff, but like literally,
it picks
the
up where
very,
went,
very
yeah.
first second of gameplay in 2
is the very last second
of gameplay in 1. It is boom that quick.
Seamless transition.
Yes.
Which is why I was kind of determined to play Modern Warfare 1 before 2 because no.
Yeah, I'm making a face at you.
I know you are. I know you're making a face. When you go to start the game, when you go to start the campaign, it says you know, play the campaign of Modern Warfare 2, which picks up right where Modern Warfare 1 left off. And I'm thinking, really, is it that closely connected?
No.
Which it wasn't. I understand that.
That's because they lie. They lie big, giant, pus-infected lies.
Yeah, they do.
With extra abscesses on those lies that are filled with infectious lie T-cells.
Yeah.
They can't be cured by anything.
I agree with you on that.
So don't, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
One of these days, somebody needs to, like, figure out how many times I've said what the fuck is wrong with you, Scott.
I hope for things like that, and I got it with Assassin's Creed 2.
I like when
stories, especially when a story leaves you where that one left you,
yeah,
and then picks right up exactly.
But it wasn't even just
the
story; it's the context of how the entire world is built, mm-hmm. the layering and the virtualization and all of these things that literally they make. It's natural in 2 because you spent the entire first game being educated on it, the whys and wherefores and kind of all the stuff. 2 really just assumes
that you've been through.
You are up to fucking speed. So I can't imagine it being a particularly enjoyable experience if you haven't played 1. So it's actually a very good thing that they
have 2. Yeah, because they don't play catch up with you. They literally just throw you right into the action.
Yeah.
You get like the barest summary of the events of 1. And just that.
Yeah.
You really need to play
3. But you should play 1 because it's very good. Very playable. On the PS3. Very good stuff. One of those indistinguishable games on the PS3. So, which I hear Bayonetta is not, through various rumors, but I don't know. That's what I meant to ask.
Yeah.
Sega was giving out the keys to the 360 demo.
Yeah. It was
I didn't think Sega was related to the 360 version. I thought Sega simply had their hands all over the... I thought they were the ones responsible for the port for the PS3.
Well, maybe they had a hand in both of them. I'm not sure.
I didn't think they did.
Yeah, but bottom line is they were making the offer.
I thought that was the whole thing.
Their registration, yeah.
When there was a stink all over for the PS3 version, it was like, don't look at us, look at Sega. Sega's doing the port. So.
Well, Sega is the publisher of both games.
In America?
Yes. Both,
okay.
Both.
So they're publishing the 360 version in America?
They were, yes.
But they didn't have, but they had nothing to do with the coding.
Tell you that in just a second. Sega's doing the publishing for the 360 and the PS3 game in America. Sega's doing the development on the PS3 version only.
Yeah. I knew that they had nothing to do with it.
Where Platinum Games is doing the development on the 360 version.
Yeah, okay. Then that's what it is.
That's how
they're basically masquerading like they had anything to do with the fucking 360 version. So, interesting. Yeah, there you go. Attach your name to the version that works. I'm really sorry that you haven't had a chance to play it yet, because I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
How'd you like Borderlands?
It's kind of like Fallout 3, only with team play and better weapon selection. Now, that's not a knock, but you know, if you were emulating the game, Fallout
better
3
weapon selection,
choice,
yeah. Tons of weapons.
Well, and it's an actual shooter, too.
Yeah,
Did you get to play with other people?
No, not yet. I wanted to level up, get a good level up first before I started joining in with the...
That's true. By now, you probably got some good mid-levels and upper levels going on.
I want to be a support character. Games like that, I've always favored the guy who, like, backs folks up and makes sure everybody's healing.
You can play a
soldier.
Soldier. With the...
I'm filling up medic.
The medic tree.
The medic.
That's what Kevin did.
Yeah, I'm trying to fill
You know what? It's really annoying.
What?
That guy.
What?
Because one of his key skills is to heal you by shooting you. I'm not kidding. Like, that's...
Yeah, but I read
that's a key thing. It's fucking annoying.
What? Does it hurt you when you get shot or something?
No, it heals you when you get shot.
So what's
But it's fucking annoying because it looks like, to some degree, particularly like when there's a bunch of shit going on, it's kind of... In the heat of a battle, it can be completely indistinguishable from enemy fire. Mm-hmm. So you're looking around trying to figure out what's going on. B, this may not be exactly correct, but our assumption was at the time, so it may as well be correct, that
pick up a weapon.
That it's 1-to-1. Like, kind of a... Well, the more damage the gun would normally do, the more healing it will do. Mm-hmm. And like... So Kevin... what I pictured in my head... When I was suggested that maybe Kevin go this healing route, because I didn't want to, because we're both playing soldiers, I was thinking, You need to get, like, some really accurate automatic weapon and stand really far away and shoot me. You know, I was thinking, like, you know, this is how, like, healers work in MMOs. You stand in the back, you, like, toss your heals out. Whatever, I figured he'd be off somewhere, you know, bullet healing us or whatever. Kevin wanted giant shotguns, and he wanted to, like, put it in your face and shoot you.
Stand still, stand still.
It'll heal you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boom, boom. And it was like, I was, God damn it.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
But then, and, like, he upgraded from the shotguns.
And they decided to use rocket launchers. And so he's
so
like,
he could heal more people at one time with this thing. Splash damage, right?
But, like, we couldn't fucking see anything. Because we're constantly enveloped in these, like, fireballs. And so we'd all die. And I was like, why don't you fucking heal me? And he's like, I did fucking heal you. I was shooting you guys with the rocket launcher. And I was like, oh, is that the thing that kept me from seeing, which got me killed? I mean, and then he'd get real pissed off at me, and I'd get real
like,
pissed
fine,
off.
I'm not going to heal you anymore. I mean,
did you guys suggest snipers or yes. long-range machine guns, MP5?
Look, man, I've spent years being a healer in video games. I know how temperamental the prima donna healer can be. So, like, I couldn't overtly suggest, like, you know, I basically didn't want to come off on the whole learn to play noob angle, you know? Like, Zomg heals. Kick the healer lols. Why no heals, or, you know? I didn't want to do that. But, like, at the same time, it's like, I really don't like your rocket healing, man. I don't like it. I was just, dude, and I think that it would have been more interesting if they had handled it differently. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like, if the impact physics had been different for the players when you were healing them, and I know that it basically just changed, it just reversed the value from team damage to team healing, you know, I mean, it's a simple thing, so I can't ask too much. But the overall effect is like I'm getting shot. And is therefore off-putting the way I'm getting shot.
I would think a way of getting hit like indicate a green flash instead of a red
it's,
flash.
But yeah,
like
but
that.
It's still but there's still like there's still a sense of impact. I believe there's still like controller shake. There's all that stuff, and it's jarring because it's designed to be it's designed to be unpleasant to be healed or to be shot by friends or enemies. So. Regardless of the fact that they heal you, it does nothing. It doesn't matter. It was still annoying as hell. And then he'd be yelling at you to stand still, you know, and just fucking all this other shit. It's insane.
Yeah, well, standing still is a big no-no in that game. I found that out the hard way.
Yeah. What levels have you gotten to?
I got to level 10 in one sitting. I filled up my health, and now I'm working on the cauterize, the shoot-to-heal feature right now. Probably going to work on the having the Scorpio turret heal folks up next.
Yeah,
work on that. And I'll probably pick it up when it's all said and done.
It's a fun game. Yeah. It's imperfect as hell. Mm-hmm. It's very very imperfect, but a fun game nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, I also got to learn how to drive because I can't drive for crap.
It's okay. It's because the cars suck. They don't drive very well.
Yeah,
it's not your
fault. And down on the left stick and left and right on the right analog to. Control direction you're going. I was trying to get used to that for a little bit. Thought I got the hang
up and down
of it,
on the left stick.
Jump.
Up and down on the left stick.
Up and down on the left analog stick controls going forward and back, but the right analog stick controls the direction that the car goes in.
It's not how it was on the 360. Because on 360 it was more or less Warthog controls.
I thought it was too.
Well, that's how it was on the PS3.
Where it's like, I mean, left and right on the right stick controls steering, but forward.
Forward on the right stick. Forward. Yeah.
Forward on the moving it's forward. Warthog. It's literally Warthog controls, just not as tight. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how that works. You should try pushing forward on the right stick.
That pushes the camera, you know, funny angle or something.
That's not how that happened, is it? On the
well, he is playing. Well, he's one player, so obviously your right stick controls your gun, doesn't it?
Maybe it was left stick is Warthog controls.
But even when you're not in the turret, doesn't it?
Holding the X button?
No, maybe right stick is turret. I honestly can't remember. I know that thrust, I know that like throttle and steering were on the same stick. Because it was Warthog controls, which is how the Warthog and Halo controls, where it's like, you basically kind of point where you want to go. Actually, no, I think it was on the right stick, and that's just how the turret aiming was. I don't fucking know, but that's weird. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
they don't drive good.
Bring it over one day and let them see it in action to see how it works. Yeah. Then, because it was kind of weird.
They're not all that. It's not all that tight. I didn't particularly care for the vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it to some degree.
Yeah.
It's currently still, at least on the 360 version, it's still number one on the rentals from GameFly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. 360 pretty much leads on the game rentals, but still the titles: Borderlands number one, Modern Warfare is number two. Assassin's Creed 2 is number 3, and Dragon Age is number 4.
Dragon Age, man. Dragon Age got some, it's got a lot of good stuff flowing around it. A lot of good feelings flowing around it in the fan community for something that is so fucking weird. it's weird, dude. It's weird. What the hell else to say? Although, god fucking damn it, man. I had too much shit to play.
Don't you?
And like, I kind of left Dragon Age sitting there because this other shit. I got to play this other shit. But apparently,
James's list is a lot longer than ours. So.
Yeah. Apparently, the blokes from some of the guys who do work hosted on the Fallout 3 Nexus, which is like the mod site for Fallout 3 stuff. The first big full on texture pack. Has hit the high res texture pack has hit for the PC version of Dragon Age.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
like that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's like really 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 nice. And even at a time if you've given up on a game, something like that happens, it'll pull you back into it just to go back around and see how much nicer things look. I'm not even terribly far along.
And you're nowhere near giving up on the game at all.
Oh god, no. I only took a pause in the campaign because I was left going, well, there was this other stuff, but I was also left with the option of going either to visit the Dalish elves or the dwarves in their in the storyline. And I had not done the Dalish elf origin story or the dwarf commoner origin story. So I stopped to do both of those, and that's, as I've said before, that right there was probably 5-6 hours of gameplay. So that took me a while. Is she seriously just looking for a fucking reason to come in here?
I don't know.
It really annoys me when people do that.
I guess not.
You can leave that in there if you want to. I don't work here.
I don't care. She doesn't listen.
Anyway. Point is, that shit got me really happy now. The mod scene's actually picking up and stuff's happening with it. People are really supporting it, and an old boy that is apparently doing the texture work is known for having done really good work.
Yeah, it's keeping people in, because Friday night I was talking to Track Zero, and I said, hey, you going to get into Modern Warfare 2 tonight? He's like, no, I'm going to play Dragon Age Origins. I want to continue playing that, because he's playing it on the PC as well. So
yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah.
They saw that they announced their next...
the DLC, yeah.
Announced their next little DLC thing. $5. I'll preface that. They basically said, they're really forthcoming about it. They told us exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Which what it is actually really fucking cool. I told you about the battle. The first battle with the crazy stuff and the dude and the things that go on.
Yes.
You go back there.
Oh.
That's what you do. That's what it is. You go back to Ostagar to
I was going to say, with the intention to do what?
I don't know exactly what the story twist is or what the driving thing is.
I guess they wouldn't tell you, you know.
Well, but, I mean, it's basically you go back to the scene of that betrayal. I think that, I think it hinges on the fact that there are other surviving Grey Wardens. You run into another surviving Grey Warden from Ostagar. And for various reasons, you go back there. Which is cool, because you can get old boy's armor. Dude man, king guy.
Okay.
Whatever, you haven't played the fucking game, you know? It's fucking badass, like crazy-ass armor, man. Like, here's the thing, and I know Anybody who plays RPGs understands perfectly that RPGs are about loot. So anybody who really plays RPGs went through that whole scenario. Like, old boy and other old boy are both killed. And hey, boy, I had some good swag. Like, those two guys had some great stuff. And, like, I'd be a damn liar, and I think a lot of other people would, too, if we didn't admit that when, you know, when dude's, like, squashed and, like, lifeless, eyeball-bursted body was tossed off into a corner there. It was like, oh, it really sucks, man. Can I loot his shit?
Let me go get his stuff.
Can I have your stuff? Your stuff any good? Where's your sword? That was a really great-looking sword. Like, Duncan, you had some... I mean, that's sad and all, dude, but you had some really good stuff.
I do the same
thing. I want to go loot your stuff, basically.
I do the same thing in Assassin's Creed 2 with, like, killing guys. Even if I have to run away, it's like, let me go back. I know there's some bodies sitting around there. Let me go back and, you know, just get that money off of them. It's just money, but still.
Just a handful of florins.
Yeah. It's still, there's a weird satisfaction you get from, you know, just completely killing a guy and immediately, let me raid, give me your pockets, you know.
Like,
going
oh.
into his pockets.
How do you not like RPGs? Killing a guy and going through his pockets
know,
is 95% of what an RPG is.
I don't know.
The
don't
other
know
5%
is
talking to him before you kill him.
The reading. He doesn't like the reading.
But, like, looting dead bodies is what you do. It's loot, man. Swag, stuff.
I don't know why.
Gear.
I keep trying, and I don't know why.
You just play Torchlight.
Yeah.
There's essentially no
pull
reading
your,
or
your
talking
PC
or anything.
Up to your,
God for that.
To your living room and get Torchlight.
Yeah. Which they released the dev stuff for, so. Anyway.
Yeah, you even act like you kill people in Assassin's Creed. You don't do that.
Yeah, they are still moving a little bit on the floor.
You don't even do that. You run around and look for treasure boxes and you know.
Yeah, it's fun looking for treasure boxes, though.
You shed a single tear and let it roll down your cheek at the beauty of the bas relief and the, you know, intricate carvings, blah, blah, whatever. Just wander around, like, that's all Scott was telling me. Oh, I was just wandering around doing some stuff. Because we were all in chat last night, like, after we got done with Left 4 Dead, just sort of went off into our individual Assassin's Creed stuff. And, like, I'm doing what you're supposed to do, which is kill lots of guys, you know. Like, clearly the rules of the game are, if there's a guy, you kill him. Otherwise, they wouldn't put a secret awesome knife on my hand. You know? That guy with the box in front of me, when he drops his box and blames it on me, that guy gets killed. That's awesome.
I haven't gotten the secret awesome blade yet.
Do you know why?
Because you're busy.
Because you're a pussy.
Because I'm busy looking for treasures.
Yeah.
I was looking for treasures.
You're looking at the goddamn sunset and trying to climb on top of stuff.
I spent probably
at beautiful fucking vistas instead of punching people with your awesome fist until you're deserving of an awesome blade.
So I I must have spent 30 minutes as soon as I saw on my map. I did this one thing, and I won't go into it too much. But I saw on my map a race had unlocked.
Yeah.
I was like, "Whoa, hey, there's a race over there!" So I go to look at my map to see exactly how far away from it, from where I am, it is. And I'm like, "Here's a codex page right over here. What is a code? What's this? This is new. Let me go check this out." There's some guards around the door. Or see, first I spend 20 minutes surveying the building. Being like, where the fuck did they put this codex page? Well, now it must be on the inside. So let me hop over on this other roof and get a good look at see what's going on down there. Oh, fuck, there's guys guarding it. All right, well, can I just go down there and fight those guys? Where's the whores when you need them? So I try to go find the whores so that I can bribe them to go distract the guards so I can sneak in. So I stand in the middle of these fucking whores and I'm like...
You don't bribe whores.
Whatever.
You obviously don't know enough about whores.
Pay them.
If you bribe them, they're not called whores.
Not bribe them.
Else.
Yeah, you bribe the
you bribe the
courtesans.
No,
those are the whores.
Those are the whores. You bribe the what are they called?
The thieves.
No.
The mercenaries.
Nope.
Guys who hang out.
It's the guys who I've forgotten what the hell. It's the guys who yell a bunch of shit.
The heralds.
The heralds.
Okay.
You bribe them. But yeah, you go and you pay the whores, they'll go distract the guards or whatever. And so I'm standing around and it's like, there's an icon over their head, but there's no, there's no indication like push Y to talk or push B to give them money or whatever. There's just, it's not there. And I'm like, well, I guess I can't do anything about that. So, and I go off to do something else. But that's what I do whenever I see something that's worth investigating.
Are you dressed cool yet?
Yeah, yeah, I'm dressed cool.
So you're dressed cool, but you don't have your awesome blade?
I'm a blade. Not yet.
I just don't understand.
You can go get your awesome blade.
Yes!
You can actually fight with the damn thing, which...
Yes, which is very strange. You could not do it.
In the first one, yeah.
You could not. Absolutely could not.
I mean, you can, like, take on guys, you know, coming at you with swords and...
You lose your sword for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
And all you've got is your awesome blade. But apparently it's... absolutely up to the task of dueling. And really, for those first dudes, like, just as good as a sword.
Yeah.
No, I look forward to it, and this is how I'll play this game, and I played Infamous much the same way. Which is why it took me forever.
1,000 years. I was going out of my goddamn mind watching it. Because you pre-ordered it, I should say.
Yeah.
And you got it at the midnight, so I went over to your house for like an hour or more and watched you play it. And I was like, seriously, like, I needed a stiff drink. I hate watching you play third-person action games. It kills me. You're like somebody that just learned how to use a mouse in a first-person shooter. Either looking up or you're looking at your feet. And you're like, how do I get over here? What am I doing? Like, I haven't figured out where to go. And I'm just, go! Just go! Just go get him. Go get him. Go kill him. Go. Scott, go.
I just don't play that way.
Well, but I need to look a lot more. And, you know...
No, just go do it. You know, if you fall, there's doctors around ready to heal you.
What do you think about that?
I don't mind it. It doesn't perturb me at all that's changed.
Well, and you'll heal. You don't have to use them.
No, yeah, if you complete a mission.
Yeah.
You're healed up.
How did you heal in the first one?
You
had to wait.
I think I had a flashback of that because I wasn't sure in this one if it was like it's totally you got to do a doctor or medicine vial. Because I jumped in some hay. I think I remember you healed faster if you were, like, hiding or laying in the hay.
Well, because you weren't really... You were... resynchronizing is what you were doing.
Yeah, it wouldn't recover that quickly in battle unless you actually, like, killed a dude while you were fighting.
Man, and that... I'm sorry, but that was, like... Those were some tense fucking deals.
Yeah.
Like, where you were down to nothing and you knew that if you missed... You were still surrounded by, like, 3 or 4 guys. And if you missed a counter, you were toast. Like... That's one of the reasons why I was so fond of that game. Like, you could wind up in some serious situations where, yes, the combat's not complicated. Yes, it's essentially 3-4-button combat, but, like, your counters and your little cross-fighting in the group and your combos and stuff had to be, like, spot the fuck on sometimes. Mm-hmm. And God help you if you ran around the corner and found a Templar.
Oh, God.
I mean, that shit was fun, you know? That was really, really fun, and I'm not sure what the end result of this game is going to be because, like, it's this isn't simply just an improvement on Assassin's Creed 1. There's so much here that's fundamentally different.
Yeah.
To begin with, the entire incentive system in Assassin's Creed 1 was getting back what you know you'd already had. The entire incentive system was. Now you've got a better sword, now you've got a new skill, now you've got all this other stuff that you barely tasted when you first started the game.
Yeah.
This game is completely different. It's stuff that your dude has never had, a proper origin story, and the ability to actually have loot, you know, to have stuff, to have your healing items, to have different and better weapons, to change your clothes, to buy armor. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, it's a little... I don't actually like that... idea. It doesn't seem to have screwed up the gameplay at all.
No.
There was something so pure about what Assassin's Creed 1 was. You get what's given to you and that is it. So you don't ever have to spend time wondering or possibly researching outside of the game what the best thing is, you know?
Yeah.
Or where to find it or the whole thing about like getting money and then having to use it for various things I found it's not just an advancement over the first one. It's a layer that literally doesn't exist in the previous game. So I can't say right off whether that makes me like it better or not. But I know that I've become obsessive about money all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Instead of just being obsessive about killing. But apparently this is the depth that so many people needed.
I really haven't bothered with money, but I haven't run out and spent things. Like, do I just have enough money to get this? Okay, I got it.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, but I don't really have an understanding of what it's going to mean ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they've been generous or miserly. I don't know that I'm ultimately going to have enough money to, like Dragon Age, for example. There's stuff that costs like an enormous sum to buy, and in a very stark contrast to Mass Effect, I can't imagine that you'll ever naturally have enough money to buy all the stuff you can buy from the various vendors in Dragon Age. You know. And the loot isn't actually quite as widely interesting as it could be, but that's beside the point. I don't know how Assassin's Creed is going to work, so I have sort of a natural little bit of hesitation, a little bit of anxiety about, like, I need as... If money is in the picture, I need as much of it as I can get.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I don't know what their economy is like. I don't know if ever there's going to be a thing that I'm like, oh my God, I need this, but I was like... You know, dumping my scratch at every 2-bit vendor. Yeah.
From what I remember reading in a review, they said, you know, if you go a certain way with the way you get your income and the way you deal with your money, you'll have more than you'll ever need.
Yeah, I remember hearing there's like some kind of villa you can set up where you can like collect money and have people live there.
That's like your
home base almost.
It's like your home base. That's like whatever the town was in the first
place. Masayev.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. But you can make money off that now.
Yeah.
So, and they said if you do it right, you know, decorate it with art and bullshit and whatever else, that it increases rent and you get paid. And
I mean, it's good.
Yeah,
I'm
you do
not
it the right way, you'll get to a point where it
I'm not saying that can't be the case. I'm
no,
just saying
I understand.
From a pure gameplay perspective, I can't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, I'm worried about things that in the previous game I was never worried about.
Oh, there's shit more.
And I don't.
This, yeah.
And I honestly. Apparently, just the addition of all of these different things makes a lot of people really like it more. But I don't mind saying that. I thought that was something that made the first game perfect, was that it was so single-minded. What other people took as repetitive, I took to be, you know, whatever, man, like, you know, fuck all the flags. And really fuck all the kingdom segments after you've kind of been through them once, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
But put all that stuff aside and just, like, let's focus on, like, what really was the repetitive mission structure.
Right.
I found it refreshingly concentrated, and I liked it. And as a lot of people seem to have agreed, it was really great to, like, you know, what were we looking at? Like, a basic run of, like, there was, like, the preamble to the real gameplay and then sort of the whole postscript run-up to the finale type thing, but really the bulk of the gameplay was 9 assassinations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun to, like, do an assassination and everything that you wanted to do around that assassination and then walk away.
Yeah.
And then do maybe another one the next day, or do one early in the day if it's a weekend and then another one later. But to do them in individual segments. Occasionally, if you were really feeling awesome, do a couple in a row. But if you tried to do, like, 3, 4, 5 in a row, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it would bog you down.
Yes, it really would, and that's legitimate. But all of a sudden now I got all this shit I have to care about. And I'm like, I don't know that I necessarily... I'm not far enough to have anything like a conclusion, but I don't know that I really want to care about all that stuff, you know? I don't...
Almost like it's too much to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, clearly I'm over here in Dragon Age worrying about probably 1,000 times as much shit. But... Assassin's Creed was about fucking being a badass with swords and stuff, you know? It was about running around and, like, parkouring the shit out of the place and stabbing people with my awesome little blade, you know? And I'm assuming I ultimately get to that point, but I know that I'm also juggling a coin purse and an inventory screen and, like, some goddamn villa that I have to upkeep and, or at least, whatever, do some stuff with. And I'm not saying the added layers of complexity are not good. I have no idea. I'm not trying to poo-poo them at all. I'm just saying... From the jump off, I can't say, oh God, thank you for all of this complexity. Now it can be a good game. It's like, oh God, there's all this complexity. I really hope it doesn't get in the way of what made the fundaments of Assassin's Creed so enjoyable.
Yeah.
really, they just look like distractions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't...
I will say, it really hasn't affected me that much. I mean...
It's good. I don't want it to affect anybody.
But again, all I've gotten is, like, one piece of armor and, like, a couple of different colored costumes, and that's about it.
Yeah, but clearly the depths to which you can sink into economic depravity, the things, the ability to buy stuff, I mean, it's going to be there. I've looked at... There are very clear voids in my inventory where I can put stuff. And even if there was only one stuff for each place, that's a lot of stuff.
It is.
But there's not. There's multiple. So, it's just a thing. We've gone from something that was expressed so purely as to turn people off because of its repetitive nature to something of a similar setting and a similar gameplay style, but it's festooned from head to toe with all of this lavishness and extravagance. As, I suppose, I don't even know if this is trying to be irony or anything, I suppose those two concepts sort of fit with their setting. The very stark and the very bleak of the Holy Land during the Crusades, and the lavish excess of Renaissance Italy, you know? Oh, okay, maybe somebody's making a joke, and if so, I get it. If not... Oh, well. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I just have a natural distrust for... Well, you didn't like the fact that it was repetitive, so just here's a bunch of bells and whistles to distract you from the fact that you're still just looking to stick a knife in somebody.
Yeah.
This is... I don't know. It's fine. I like the game plenty. I kind of believe that the jumpy climb stuff is actually a little looser and a little sloppier than it was.
There have been moments where I felt that way. You're exactly right.
I don't just think it's my memory. I think that this boy is far, far more likely to jump off in some random-ass direction than Altair ever was.
I've had that experience. I've had points where I think I should be able to climb something.
And he just won't. He just looks at it. And I'm like...
And then I, like, move over like
you
an
pussy
inch.
Motherfucker. Altair would have had no trouble with this. He would have just gotten it done. And he'd sit there and look at it. Like, fuck you. You know? I don't know. It's just, I'm not swept up in it. I'm not in love with it yet. But I also know that this thing is designed for something like... Depending on how deep you choose to go, this thing is... The first game was, what, maybe a dozen hours, you know? If you chose to, like, do all the little... Not flags, not Templars, but if you chose to do, like, say, all the viewpoints and
all the reconnaissance.
And all the reconnaissance stuff, probably about 12 hours.
Yeah.
This game, if you choose the same level of involvement in terms of overall completion, seems to put you somewhere in the 20-plus hour. So, maybe. I don't really know. The reports vary. But it's cool. It's fine. Obviously, not drawing conclusions yet because I haven't gotten that far. But like, I have the option to leave Florence, but I'm like all, you know, I'm just going all over the place, looking shit in Florence. But I just, I'm not loving it yet. I also feel like, and this is, I am going to take some issue with the exposition. Like, I think it helps if you watched the lineage stuff. I think that kind of gives you a really good thing. And I do like the fact that they made a real effort to model the in-game characters after the actors that they used in the lineage shorts. Because, like, Pops looks like Pops.
Yeah.
You know, and your mom looks pretty damn close to your mom. And, like, they don't show Ezio but, like, once real quick in lineage.
Yeah, I know an episode. Well, I know the other two episodes come out now.
Yeah, they're all out.
So I haven't seen...
I've watched them all, but it was like when he was playing chess, you know?
Yeah.
I will agree with everybody else that, like, how does everybody in 15th century Italy look pretty good, and everybody in modern times look so clownishly awful?
And we made that point when we were watching it. I was like, wow,
everybody kind of agrees with that. It's like, you know, what truck ran over Lucy's face?
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking crazy.
It looks... old, you know, it looks old PS2, you know.
In terms of lip syncing and mocapping and a lot of the...
Just that facial structure
and some of the animation is really wonky and not good. Whereas in some of the little scenes like between you and your dad in early on. Like, there's so much subtlety, like a little bit of squint, a little bit of eyebrow lift, a kind of like a lift at the corner of the mouth. Like, there's so much subtext in the facial animation. I'm like, you know, fuck. Like, why does old girl, like brunette girl with the other chair, like, why does she look like such shit when she talks? I don't understand it. But whatever, it's really cool. I'm not pissed about anything. I'm just having a hard time, like, slipping into it and being in love with it. It's like, hey, look at me. I put on some clothes. Now I'm this guy. It's like, where's the whole, like, I don't know. Like, where's the process by which you learn that this is what your dad did and this is what you're going to do? How come I start the game as a couple of, you know, I mean, my brother, like some privileged Italian brats who can apparently parkour like a motherfucker. Like, where did I learn this skill?
Yeah.
I was hoping kind of for some sort of explanation of where my skills developed. But essentially out of nowhere, they gave me a cloak and a knife, and I'm some level of badass already. I didn't like it. Whereas, again, with Altair, it's like, no, you've been a badass for a long time.
Yeah.
So, it's just a little weird.
And turning out to take that another level, the first assassination you do, I don't know if you've gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
But I did like how it was very...
I haven't gotten to that point.
I won't mention any names, but compared to how Altair did his, it was very...
Clumsy.
Clumsy and brutish.
And, yeah, it was clumsy and... amateur.
Yeah.
It was very amateur.
You know, standing there in the square.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's totally not what would happen in the first game.
No.
Ever.
Nope. So, it's great. And I mean, I'm God. It's nowhere in the game. Like, so I'm not even out of Florence yet, so.
Yeah.
And that's essentially your introduction.
Yeah.
That equivocates to the first amount of time you spent in the first game dicking around in your city, the fortress city. Like, so it's cool. Like, it's there. I need to put an enormous amount of time into it. And I'm certainly liking it, but I do feel like, I swear it's not my memory, man. I do feel like the parkour is actually a little bit weaker in this game. Some of the auto climbing and auto jumping is a little sloppier, as a tendency to run amok. And I just can't. Yeah, the places where I'm certain you should be able to climb up, he won't. He wants to be positioned very perfectly underneath certain things.
Yeah, because I've had that where it's like you look up and I just move
like,
just
right there,
thing to the
and
left,
he won't jump.
Yeah,
and it's
also it's like, oh no, I can climb now.
Yeah, I don't.
Or when he's standing on the top and you want him to jump across and he jumps to the left. Because that would happen to me many times.
For treasure, not killing
while people. I was looking for treasure, I'm like, I gotta get over there because there's the little glowy box which people leave out in the open.
Yeah. Well, at least all the glowy boxes are in areas which you can kind of recognize eventually. Okay, my treasure box is here, so I need to either look for like a little courtyard or a little balcony.
A little balcony area, yeah.
Usually,
I haven't even got any of the maps yet.
Okay.
They didn't buy any of the maps.
Yeah, you buy those and you learn really quick the treasures are in these particular kinds of locations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like that; those two are like inside a building behind some guards. And at least in Florence, that's pretty much it. At least in this particular area.
And feathers work on a completely different...
Man. Whatever, man. I'm not collecting flags again. If I see one, okay, but no, can't do it. I'm not going after those goddamn feathers.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in what the point of them is, but
I realize I could spoil myself. Somebody's posted a spoiler as to what that is, and I'm not clicking it. But
the only thing I really care about are the glyphs.
Yeah,
like and the like little video clips, man. That shit unlocks. Like, you find the glyph, and then it's like you get the whole puzzle thing, which is like, okay, you know, Gandhi had an artifact under his robes. Sure he did. Like, whatever. They're fun, you know?
Yeah.
They're really cheesy, but they're fun. And then you get the, like, quick little video clue.
Like, just a second?
Just a second of it. And I've only got three.
Yeah, I've gotten two. I've gotten...
Yeah, I've gotten three. But, like, the first two are kind of related. The third one didn't appear to be related, but it's just weird. And I'm like, this is weird. You guys are being weird. But that's cool.
Yeah.
I came here for weird. Like, I played through the first game. I know what to expect. Also, you might want to plug your ears in La 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 for a second.
No, okay.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
I really hate... Okay.
All right.
Let's move on.
Schools never bothered me.
It's just so fundamental to how the game works. But at this point, it's 2 years on. I can't really...
What all do you know of Assassin's Creed?
You know anything about it?
No.
That's even better. That's why you shouldn't.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I realized that probably one of the best things they did, and this isn't a spoiler for you, but one of the best things they did is I don't have to exit the Animus program to interact with my handlers.
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, dirt-de-dirt, I'm looking for some dirt-de-dirt, whatever. Like, I'm just looking around, and like, old boy and old girl are yakking at me. And I'm like, yeah. Hey. You can talk to me. And you didn't point it out. Like, you didn't point out, like, this is the fancy Animus chair version of the software, like, that lets us do this. This is, you know, which is another thing. It was like, oh, you have, like, another chair, and you're going to make some stupid little, you know, I don't know, stupid little cheesy cyber tech character comment about, you know, Animus 2.0. Like, whatever. Like, you should have said a little something about how this is fundamentally different than what I've been in. How it's sort of like...
Why do you have a different one? Where did this, you know...
Did you make it on the sly? Obviously you did. To what end? For what purpose? Like, whatever. I sat in the other one like a jackass without fighting back. I guess I'll sit in this one, too. But like, you're in the middle of doing stuff, and I realize they've talked to me a couple of times. And I'm like, oh, that's actually really good. You don't have to kick me out of it into a very jarring environment in order to toss a little bit of story at me from the other angle. You can involve yourself in things without doing that. I actually really think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I like that a lot, especially since Desmond can talk back to them.
Yes. It maybe violates a little bit of what... I always had the sense that Desmond was kind of like, you know, you're like watching a sci-fi show.
He was in like a stasis.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the guy in the sci-fi show gets his body taken over by aliens. Mm-hmm. And then later when it's all fixed, he says, you know, I was there, I was in there, but I wasn't in control of my own actions. It's like I was watching from a distant location, blah, 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 blah. That's kind of how I always pictured Desmond.
Yeah.
Because Altair was Altair, and that's, there you go, you're Altair. And you don't ever do Desmond-y things. You always do Altair things. So I always figured it kind of like a deep sleep or a weird dream or something like that. This doesn't... It's different.
Yeah.
Because the veil is kind of torn a little bit. And Desmond is very clearly aware and communicative about what's going on. But the gameplay is all clearly from the ATO perspective. So it's like, this is very strange. Like, I wonder what kind of psychological displacement is going on for each of these characters, you know? And maybe they'll never even talk about that. I find that very fascinating. I think that you can make a lot of interesting story around that. But out of nowhere, I just realized, man, that motherfucker's talking to me. Like, okay, that's pretty good. In terms of, from a strictly gameplay point of view, I remember pointing this out as something that I thought was so fucking great from the Terminator, Jesus Christ, I don't know what the hell's wrong with my head, the Tomb Raider reboot.
That's a little different.
It is, but the syncopation and the letters are similar enough. The rhythm is there, that's basically what I got caught up on. Where you had like those two chatty Cathys that would like talk to you from the van. the guys on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Your handlers. Yeah. And that. You didn't have that in the previous game.
No, you didn't.
It was a fundamentally lonely experience.
Yeah.
And that can kind of suck. Lonely experiences can suck. Yeah. But, like, with these guys kind of just every now and then, like, laying some stuff on you, it breaks that up a little bit. And you actually feel that there are more personalities in it with you. And that's very helpful.
That's how you had to, that's how you saved in the first game, wasn't it?
By exiting the Animus.
And going to your room.
Yes. Yeah. You had to get out of the motherfucker and walk to your bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'll say it's almost kind of weird that I haven't left the Animus yet.
Yep. Which means that they're probably using that as a deliberate thing. There are going to be deliberate moments where they pull you out of the Animus.
Yeah. In fact, when I started the game back up, I was already in
yes,
the Animus.
Yes, I did the same thing.
Never.
Yeah.
I did the same
happened
thing.
The first time.
I was right where I
right there left. Where you were as Ezio.
Yeah. So what that means is that they've kind of changed what the relationship is.
Yeah.
Probably for the better. But it did mean what it meant in the first game, and it doesn't mean that anymore. So I'm hoping for some big, you know, big crazy, like wonky jawed, nutso story revelations, you know.
About what you said a minute ago though, that you always considered Desmond to be kind of off. Like,
yeah, it was just how I imagined it.
I just wanted to like counterpoint that with the way I imagined it. I imagined him like having some degree of control when he was in this, you know, whatever state in the first game, where he had to kind of move Altair through these genetic memories, and not being in control of any of the conversation, that would be all memory and revealed as he goes through, but like actually having to push him through and sort of almost battling, you know, to some degree himself, although not completely in control, which I assumed would sort of imbue him with some of those skills in real life. So
yeah, no, it clearly the gameplay worked more like what you're saying, which is why in the very beginning you're having to kind of learn stuff, but because the whole thing was about synchronization with your memory, it felt more like the indication was you have to surrender to what already happened, not force control on it, but give yourself up to it. Which is why a lot of times in the course of the story, he would pop out of the Animus and be all, like, waking from a dream kind of thing. Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what the fuck was that? Oh my god, what's going on? Not like so much of what happened was super deliberate.
Yeah.
But that, kind of like the Venom suit.
Ah.
That's sort of where I was with the whole thing. Although I think I'm just taking that way too far, but that's kind of how I felt. Is that because the whole notion was about synchronization, and the more synchronized you were, the better things were. And the worse you did, your health, your synchronization disappeared. It was you are fighting it. You're trying to do your thing, which is resulting in failure, instead of the thing that happened, which resulted in success. So
that's very valid.
Never realized that there were two such opposing but valid points of view in that, really. Until I started playing the second game. So, it's still good shit. I mean, whatever. Clearly, more people are more happy about what 2 is doing.
Yeah, that's good.
So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to fucking win this weekend. I really don't.
All of us have Assassin's Creed 2.
I also picked up the motherfucking God of War collection.
God,
yeah, dude, I'm all fucking tore up with shit to play, man.
Damn,
well, he kind of had to get that because he missed it on the PS2, and playing that game on a PS3 right now on high def TVs looks like shit.
Yeah,
it'll give you a headache.
Yeah, I've tried to play one. I've made it through maybe a quarter or a third of the first game playing on my PS2. I'm sorry, I can't do it, man. I'm enough of a graphics whore that I just can't do it. It's fucking ugly.
Yeah.
So I got this. I mean, whatever, it was $40. I'd, you know, it's not that big a deal.
It's good value. Two games.
And I just want to be able to play them because I never have before 3 comes out. Looks good. Plays good. Really good frame rate. Obviously not. We're not talking about like rich, deep textures, but the resolution is, you know, top notch. Resolution is good. It's formatted very naturally to a 16 by 10 display, and the frame rate is clearly, like, blown the fuck up. The only thing that doesn't look good are the little cutscenes. They couldn't really upscale those very well, and they were honest about that. They said that ahead of time. They were like, eh, we were able to do some of them. Most of them we couldn't. But the gameplay itself is very good, and it's enough of a change. The general resolution upgrade is enough to make it very playable and very enjoyable for me. Background detail, like no depth of field weirdness, and it's good, really, really solid, with all of the very tight gameplay that the series is known for. So for me, it's exactly what I needed.
Is that all on one through. Disc, or yes. Is it okay?
Yep, it's all on one disc.
Even the demo's in there too, all on one disc.
No, the demo was a downloadable code.
Oh, okay.
Which I also downloaded, but I have not yet played.
Yeah. It's so. The E3 demo, is that?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. I've heard some different.
Well, it's. That's what it says.
Oh, that's fine.
I can't say from personal experience.
Right. Well, that's what it said that I downloaded too. Right. E3, God of War 3, E3 demo.
But yeah, that's all the shit is why I haven't finished any one thing. I'm fucking spinning plates all over the place. I mean, so whatever, but they're all like really awesome plates. So they're like Franklin Mint collectibles, for God's sake. But it's all good. It's all great stuff. Hopefully I can make like a strong run at something over the weekend. I mean, there's Left 4 Dead 2.
And then there's Left 4 Dead 2.
Which, here's the thing, man. We got our copies in, and I was like, well, this is probably going to be a better thing for the group than Borderlands. Borderlands was really bad because you were sort of dedicated to, you needed to kind of be within a certain level range of everybody. And if you were like outside of maybe 5 to 10 levels, depending on what you were doing or where you were, it was no good. We had sort of a good mix, two soldiers, a sniper and a whatever the hell you were, whatever the siren. That's what it's called. But it's, you know, it's so gear-oriented and level-oriented and stat-oriented that everybody kind of needed to be ready to go at the same time, and it just got to a point where we couldn't do that. Left 4 Dead is Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to run through this level or this quick campaign, and you're good to go. Turns out it's actually a much better pick-up-and-play co-op experience. And like I said, I missed the first one for whatever reason, but... Yeah, so Scott and I were like, let's just jump in, just like play one quick little level. Just one. Just you and me with two of the AI. Let's get through it. Let's just go. You know, and I just want to play that real quick and then get back to doing this other stuff. But I want to at least have had something to say about it. Scott's all like, yeah, we'll do it real quick. Meanwhile, on the sly, I'm going to tweet that we fucking need two other people to play with us.
Yeah, I tweeted it first, then he was like, then I was like, yeah, I wish I could find somebody. He's like, no, I don't need other people. Let's just go.
Yeah.
If we get other people, we're going to play more of this than
we
want to.
Yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't that I didn't want to play with people. It's that I wanted to do a quick hit and get back to Florence, you know?
Yeah, I'll say or something. Left 4 Dead, though. If you go through a full
campaign. Yeah, I saw you playing that thing.
Yeah, it's not, I guess, quick compared to... some games, but...
I didn't want to go through a full campaign. I want to go through one quick little level. One little...
So yeah, when he was talking about that, I thought he meant the same thing. He wanted to just play one of these levels, and he wanted to play one of the campaigns, but he actually just wanted to play two of those little missions inside that campaign.
Yeah. Two not levels inside a campaign. Right. That's why I said the word level, not campaign.
Well, like...
you just used the same fucking words.
But
is
the campaign? Tell me, Dennis. You played more of this. Is the campaign not connected this time? Isn't this a more connected overall thing?
All of the campaigns are more connected story wise.
Right.
Like the very first one is Dead Center. That's in canonically. That's where that takes place.
Well, that's because that's where
was not the case in the first one.
No, it's. They intended to do that at first, have them be connected, but they kind of took that out when they realized...
It was like after the first campaign. You're talking about the campaigns being connected.
Yeah,
story-wise. Like, you go to the first one, and then the second one...
The end of the first one picks up.
Naturally follows to this, which naturally follows to this,
and
so on and so forth.
In the first one...
Which wasn't the case that I remember in the first.
In the first one, and this kind of come out with Crash Course, is that
there was is Crash Course is the bridge between No Mercy and Death Toll.
Yeah, just two of them though.
Yeah, and they originally intended to plan that all the way through, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason they decided not to. They decided just to have each one kind of set aside as its own thing.
Yeah, this is much more elaborate than the first one. We kind of gave it some shit. At least I did. I don't want to throw us all in there, but kind of thought, well, shit, it's 1 year later.
Everybody did, man.
Yeah, it's 1 year later, but they've actually put in, I don't know, there's more context.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Well, to be fair, looking back again, to be fair, the butthurt over this game was really leftover, you know, ass burn from not getting what we wanted, I didn't give a shit, but what people wanted from Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about what 2 was, it was about what 1 wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, that's really what it was. And so naturally that anger went to an irrational place where they said, oh, you're just going to give us a glorified expansion, which was the illegitimate part. The legitimate part was, we're not happy with the way that the initial product has been supported. Whether everybody agrees on that or not, that's really what it was. Mm-hmm. The reason the whole boycott evaporated was, okay, the irrational part of our anger, which said that this is not a full-fledged, fully realized sequel thing, is false.
Yeah, you're giving us the same thing you gave us the first time, so, you know, why should we buy into it?
No, it's very different.
Yes.
Yeah, it's clearly a more mature thing, possibly more mature than simply 1 year of development would normally have led to for something.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of growth for simply 1 year. But I didn't play the first one extensively.
Oh, I did.
So, I can kind of appreciate it. It still isn't, you know, it's still not my flavor of thing exactly. I'll be able to get something out of it for like a week, this weekend, maybe next weekend, maybe. But by the end of the holiday weekend, I'm done with it. I can already tell you that. I am no long-term lover of this kind of thing. I don't like retreading the same steps on this type of deal over and over again. I guess normal multiplayer can kind of be said to work the same way, but it's a much better random experience for me. So,
just in the options,
it's
of
great,
that shit.
But
yeah.
It's good. Like, I liked it. Had more fun than I expected to.
I mean, your options in the first game were campaign. Or
versus.
One's like a whole fucking row of shit you can do differently.
Yeah, they added in survival in the first one later on. But
survival, realism, campaign versus.
Scavenge,
yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of different things in there.
No, it's good stuff. It's good. Looks really, really solid. We played longer, but had some communication issues.
Yeah, we were all ready to leave, actually. Because we got to that point where it's like, okay, that was the last one we're playing. We're in the safe house, ready to start the next. And we're like, no, let's quit here. So what do we...
And that's kind of where everybody jumped in.
That's where everybody jumped in.
And you and I had not done an especially good job up to that point because it was a throwaway attempt.
Yeah, it was just like, we shot each other. It was like the safe house. And I was like, okay, fine, if we're going to do that, I'm going to kill everybody in the safe house, or try to. We do that for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Just fucking around.
And I'm the last one standing, so James is like, go out there and see how far you can get. So I go out there, die, it respawns us in there. Nick jumps into the party chat with us and then jumps into the game. And then Cato comes in there afterwards and it's like, all right, fine, let's run through it.
Yeah, but we were not in a good place because we were just farting around.
So what we had
left was not good. Yeah. Everybody had to use their health.
You know how that spawn works.
Oh, yeah.
We all had to use our health right away, which put us in a bad position.
In a bad way.
And we eventually got pretty good getting up to turn the alarm off.
Okay.
And eventually got in a good place for that. And we're, like, not totally screwed at the next room, but we were not in excellent shape leading up to the last bit fuel in the car.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think 2 of our 5 failed attempts were stupid things. Like, one time we were at 10 of 13 fuel canisters.
Mm-hmm.
And the last three were three that I had thrown down from the second floor, and they were on top of the fucking kiosk that you couldn't get to. So that was my fault. One of them was like somebody shot a gas can.
Right near the car.
Right by the car.
And we couldn't fuel. So it's like you couldn't walk over there to fuel it up because it's just full of gas. It's just flames fire. Everywhere. Yeah.
The other three were all new special fucks.
And in this scenario, obviously with any of the, most of these scenarios, I suppose, I think more so important in this one than any of the previous on in one, time is essential.
Yeah.
Do not, I mean, that's why that fire around the car prevented us from filling it up, which means more time for the director to say, well, they're just kind of standing around not doing anything. Let me send in a tank or a charger or one of the other specials to deal with these fuckers. So
that's the thing that sounds different is that all of the finales in the first one were just wait until the riot arrives.
Yes.
Not a go collect the item and then fuel up your car.
Mm-hmm.
Which the scenario itself splits up the group.
Yeah.
That scenario in and of itself kind of sort of rationally precludes the group traveling together.
Which, I mean, that makes it a lot harder then.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just think about how it's built, I guess everybody could travel around in a pack trying to get the canisters, but it doesn't make any sense because then you have to get all the way back down.
Yeah.
So really what works is a couple guys go up and throw canisters down, and the other guys, like, fill the car and do their best to stay alive. And if you're, you know, if you're pretty smart about it, then like it works. But we just kept making mistakes, and like all three times we got screwed. I think twice we're like truly screwed, like man down kind of screwed. Mm. Were two chargers and a jockey.
Yeah,
I think, or something like that, or at least they were the key contributor. So it's good, but it's not a huge jarring thing for me since I never had. I didn't work much with the first game, so I never got comfortable with like this is how Left 4 Dead works, you know. Yeah. So, but it was really fun, but you know, still just kind of key that everybody figures shit out and works well together.
Yeah.
Like Kato was all screwed up because he couldn't get in our party, so we weren't in the same chat, and that was sort of screwed. So.
And it is it like you said, it is really fun. I swear to God, it is. But the entire time. That we were playing that, and this is not going to apply for everyone else. My whole thinking is, yep, can't wait to get over there and assassinate and look for treasures for me.
Yeah, having a game going where
it's always you got that thing tempting you over there, you know.
It's like I can go to the game where I'm not being slaughtered by the undead. Which, man, difficulty just playing through single player is. It's a lot harder.
What difficulty were we playing on back there? That was normal. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I played single player in the first one and playing on normal, and it would be odd to have somebody even getting incapacitated before I reached the finale area. But in this one, it's like people are dropping left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, jockey will come out, ride somebody into a big old vat of spitter goo, and it's like, God damn.
In just normal.
Just normal.
Yeah.
And, I hear the horde horn going off like every 5 seconds. As soon as I clear one out, it's like, oh, there it goes again. Here comes another pack.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
But yeah, we'll get some time in with that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
This weekend. I guess that's what you've been playing, then. Left 4 Dead 2,
yeah, Assassin's Creed 2. Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2, Assassin's Creed 2. Got a new Super Mario Bros. Wii, which...
I'm tempted.
Man, it's good stuff. It's Mario.
I know.
That's all you need to know.
But I thought it was... Mario, you should be playing this with co-op with buddies at the house.
Yeah, you really
what I've found out from what I found out from reading is, nah, man, this thing works on its own.
It does.
By yourself. And so, yeah, I'm kind of tempted.
It looks and plays very similar to New Super Mario Brothers on the DS. You know, and with some of the motion control added in for certain power-ups. Like, you got a spin jump now where if you move your Wiimote up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like the propeller suit and such. I did some multiplayer as well, and you can actually have it where if, like, one person gets to a certain point, you can actually have yourself get into a bubble and kind of automatically travel to their location. Like, they're past, like, a certain particularly nasty platforming section. You can just have the one person do it.
So they can get through it, and you can just kind of relax and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. But the thing is, if they end up, like, dying, and you're still, like, in your little travel bubble, you're out, you get booted out of stage.
Mm.
It's like nobody's alive then.
Right. No, I've heard good things.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So that's another thing on the plate, I suppose you could say, for a lot of people.
I've done a little bit of Borderlands, so that was right before everything exploded on the 17th.
Yeah, it did.
I will say, there's stuff I haven't even touched, like Darkside Chronicles came out this week. Or, Resident Evil Darkside Chronicles. I want to get that, but it's like, it's just too much.
It's like, no time.
Yeah.
So... anything else? Give feedback?
Yeah, man.
Sounds good.
Feedback. Oh, fuck. Shame on me. I haven't even been looking at Twitter at all tonight.
Have you not?
No. And now I can't go to Twitter. What the fuck?
I don't know, dude. You've been touching yourself.
I'm getting... well. Yeah, I'm getting invalid. One of you guys go to Twitter, because I can't...
All right. Can't go to it on your phone?
Ah.
Oh, the phone.
The phone!
It's like you have a smartphone.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm just not working on the Mac there for some reason.
Go to the other Mac.
Yes.
Little Mac.
Do. Oh, this is awesome. It left us right where we left off. All right, cool. Here we go.
All right.
Dark Lord James says, shit, new Super Mario Brothers Wii is good. Discuss. Yeah.
Done.
Just did it.
Done. Iron Pass. Do you guys get a chance to watch the GTTV stuff on Mass Effect 2? My condolences to the Normandy 1, James.
Yeah, I've been sort of... my inner child's been heard about that for a long time now.
See the new box art release?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that about?
The fact that the first box art was... fucking stupid.
Okay.
Who's the guy on the left? I don't recognize that guy.
I don't know, dude. They keep putting him on all the shit.
I imagine he's an important character.
Putting this motherfucker
on
here, but god damn.
As far as I know, it's just some asshole decided to put it on there.
I like that art. It very much in the it's very it's got like the right amount of cheese funk to it, you know? the other one was just bad.
Yeah.
This one is like, you know, porn poster bad, you know, or something. Like, it's a little... I like it better. It's got a little more personality. It's not, you know... It's not great, but... It's kind of like a... I don't know, like a Buck Rogers-y type thing, or...
Reminds me of the splash screen from Champions.
Yeah, something like that. Not quite so much.
No. The splash screen from Champions is borderline absurd, but yes...
Yeah, it's just, it's a little,
But it's got that camp cheese, whatever. I know what you're saying. It's got that pinball back glass feel from the
70s. Yeah, man, it's Buck Rogers, but like, you know, but like 80s Buck Rogers, not, you know.
Iron Past also says, seems to me like Dragon Age is a PC game with a pretty good console port.
The only Buck Rogers they had, didn't it? I don't know.
And vice versa with,
that little thing's name?
Mass Effect.
I don't know, the one that went beady, beady, beady.
Yeah,
that's
almost.
Oh, I don't remember.
Whatever, and it's got like the, you know, what's her name hair on the chick, you know, like feathered out and all weird looking, and like all we're missing is like some kind of crazy star filter, and
if only it came with music when you opened it up.
Shiny suits, you know. Whatever. I like it. Fuck off.
Anyway, back to Iron Pass. Seems to me like Dragon Age is a PC game with a pretty good console port, and vice versa with Mass Effect.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see about 2. We'll see about Mass Effect 2. Depends on what kind of, how solid a shooter 2 is.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect 1 has been a little weird playing that on my PC since I bought it for $10. Like, it doesn't like being a PC game at all. Like, it's no mods for it. It's like not a moddable thing whatsoever. Like, at all. At fucking all. And it was just the performance was really nasty to begin with. I had to disable some very peculiar bullshit feature, and then it ran brilliantly. But it was nothing significant. It wasn't like I disabled an isotropic filtering or anything, and then it ran great. It was just like something, like it ran shitty with VSync or something like that, and then ran brilliantly without it. I don't know. But it hates being a PC game. So hopefully, 2, since it's a day and date release, will not hate being a PC game.
Doogie2K says, while I wait for the Borderlands patch, Pitchford opened his mouth again. Any thoughts?
What did he say this time?
Who's he going after on this one? Shit.
Was that the one about Sony?
Was it Sony?
About Sony?
Let me check.
I don't know, but he's looking to be fitted with a black hat is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably not great. I agree with the guy a lot. I like that he says interesting and controversial. Well, not controversial, but he doesn't mind kind of going after an unclear and unpopular idea. But he's doing it a little bit.
Line.
Yeah, but he's a little much. You know, just go make another game. How about you fucking finish Colonial Marines? How about that shit? Why don't you stop talking and finish Colonial Marines?
You talked about Crytek and id.
Oh, yeah. That's the most recent. Man. Okay.
Yeah. Dwyer says, in-game chat, we can slaughter innocent civilians by the hundreds in COD 6, but we can't see blood on zombies in Left 4 Dead 2. Why, Australia?
Well, that's pretty strange.
Well, they weren't Australian citizens.
You have to respect the rights of the living impaired, man.
The living impaired. Those were people once. let's see, BK Smith. Oh my god, epic Modern Warfare 2 single-player review. Epic sets, but the story needed work. Co-op is this game's strongest part. Which, I haven't played.
Okay. I actually believe that's probably its strongest part. I couldn't get there.
Iron Past, please say you know the difference between sprint and free run in Assassin's Creed 2. PSA, you don't need to keep A or X mashed to go fast.
That's true. You just need to do it to be able to jump automatically.
Yeah.
Well, I found.
But it's not advised to do it all the time.
It's not.
It's
it. He does. He runs faster, obviously, when you hold A, though.
Because he's sprinting.
Yeah.
But it also leads to the automatic jumping.
Yeah.
Which just holding down R2 or right trigger does not. It's better if you don't just try to sprint all the time and then complain that he's doing weird stuff. You do need to be judicious.
Yeah, Iron Pass also says you wondered what Activision would do next, and he provided a link to their, I guess, hiring of a third studio to work on.
I don't even get that. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
A third studio to work on
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't get that at all. I can't.
If you're already cranking out one a year, like, I don't know. Unless this is the fabled attempt at some sort of MMO-ish thing so they can charge for online that they keep talking about. I don't know. I have no idea.
Mr. GG Chris says, just caught the most recent episode. Great. I think that the Covenant Butt Sex episode might have been a catchier title, though.
Probably. Butt sex was a verb, though, in that particular.
A little bit of Sangheilian loving.
Well, it was mostly about, I had something more brutish in my
meaning. Man, talk about gravity hammers.
he also goes, you
might be surprised how many times we steer towards something that's offensive at first glance. And we're like, man, we just did something like that not that long ago.
Yeah, I have to kind of be careful.
And try not to scare people off too quickly that haven't heard us before, so...
He also
at
goes
least
on
not
to say,
all the time.
No, so just some of the time.
Yeah.
He also goes on to say, with the Modern Warfare 2 PC drama, some cogs have cited the great single player as a reason to still buy the game. Guess you would disagree?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Totally.
Oh, look, what's about to happen?
Totally
again.
Would disagree on that. I'm
Why
just going to keep
in
talking.
Here and fucking interrupt our shit. Go ahead and open the door. Go ahead and do it.
Udiamo says, come thanks, on, in-game
See?
Chat,
what, you
for
think,
pointing
you think
out the unfortunate...
Why are you doing what you're doing? It's not like it's not going to happen. Any second now. What are you doing?
Udiyama says, thanks. I'm going on with the damn show is what I'm fucking doing. Thanks, in-game chat, for pointing out the unfortunate jingoism of Modern Warfare 2. He provides a link. I'll click on that in a minute. There are no Americans in America, apparently. And his link doesn't work because when I click on it, it keeps in one of the... it takes us to our show. Never mind. So, yeah, I don't know what he... But there are no Americans in America,
we
apparently.
We should just complain about it louder next time it happens.
So I don't know. Let's see.
Scott's not going to point out that that didn't have anything to do with you, by the way.
Huh?
My tirade.
Oh, yeah.
You have to keep in mind that they don't know what the hell I'm complaining about.
His tirade's about getting interrupted when we're doing the show.
Which happens people about like, every time
we've
we
got
record
a big,
these
We've
days.
Got a big-ass
window. It's already
window.
Happened once this show, and it damn near happened again, except I think, like, she heard James being really pissed
which,
off.
Which is
fun. Awesome.
Which is
I
fine.
Mean, it's not like we're not recording or something. It's just like we're fucking doing something here. Just because you have some
the thing is,
thing, you can't find your fucking toenail polish. Or
yeah,
some kind of
there's a big window. There's
problem.
A big fucking window in front of us right fucking here, so people can look in and see that we're actually doing something. What happens is they don't see a record light on the fucking wall outside. It's not turned on because we're actually not broadcasting. However, to counter that, we've been doing this for 2 years in this fucking room. People know we're recording. They know when we're in here. We're not just shooting the shit. This isn't our meeting place, for God's sakes. Fucking doing
We've
a show. They know that.
Microphones in front of our faces.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Anyway, I fucking get my ass gets a little chapped about that.
And it does
never
mine
for
too.
Anything good.
It does mine too. Normally we stop the episode. I go back and I erase the part that got talked over when we're getting interrupted, and then we continue on. You have no idea how many times that's happened, but in secret it has.
Scott decided to soldier on. I decided to just get angry about it. So it didn't have anything to do with
dude.
You guys.
I'm just as angry as he is right now. But I said, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing a show. So you know, if we were broadcasting, that's exactly what would have happened. So there you go. We'd have just kept going. You know, you wouldn't get interrupted. We got a direct message from Raquel, I believe is the name. Y'all really didn't like Mass
like
Effect 2's.
Yeah, I know. Like that's weird.
Just reading it's different. You hear it all the time. Reading it. Y'all really didn't like Mass Effect 2's cover art. New official art is out. I like it. Feels very 70s sci-fi.
Yes, it does. See? 80s sci-fi for me, but that's cool, man. We're within sort of a decade of each other and our love for cheesy art, so I'm down with it.
Okay, email time. All right. Glasses one of these days. Tacticus says to everyone, enjoying your podcast as always. Comment about the PC version of Modern Warfare 2. The most annoying thing about this fiasco is the concealment of the info on the PC release, which was shameful. If you aren't paying attention to the info leaks, it's pretty close to bait and switch. At least the removal of LAN play on StarCraft 2, it was announced at least a year in advance in an official way, not the inane and insulting way that happened for Modern Warfare 2, which I agree with. So anyway, hello.
No top of the hour ID.
No top of the hour ID.
I don't do it. Somebody does it. I mean, it's done. But
yeah, it's already done.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's totally taken care of. You're fine. I know you're worried about it, but you're fine.
Got it.
So as you can see from that little interruption there, normally we'd go out and take that shit out, but just because of the context of the conversation before, this is what happens. She came into the room and just stood there. How long, I don't know,
you know
she was planning
next
on staying
time,
there.
Let's just let her stand there. Pretend she's not there. Keep doing the show.
I can't
see how long she'll...
I can't get my thing going on.
Yeah, I know. I wanted her out more than I did. Yeah. You know, wanted her to suffer. Gone. New station. She's trying to whatever. I don't care. On the same subject, the Steam version unlocking was delayed for 2 days for Modern Warfare 2. Allegedly, the unlocking date was mentioned on the store page, but he never really looked at the store page himself. It caused a minor shitstorm. Apparently, brick-and-mortar retailers were also not happy with the Steam activation either and caused the delay, and even Activision has to suck up sometimes. As much as I like the current version of Steam, I do have to defend the direct-drive silliness in calling Steam a Trojan. I have a longer memory than most, and that anyone who lived through the original Half-Life 2 version of Steam probably used the words Trojan or virus more than once. I got Half-Life 2 for Christmas and registered it several days after, and it was not a fun experience. It probably took me 1.5 hours to install and register a boxed version. Granted, Steam has improved dramatically in service and speed, and of course sales, but truth be told, it's still pretty intrusive, but most of us have just gotten used to it. So yeah, we talked about that. We hit on the point that he mentions in the first paragraph there was that it did feel like a bait and switch. It was like, if they didn't have mentioned this on this little podcast, when the fuck were they going to talk about all this shit? When were they going to release it? And it was still never officially released. They never came out in an official capacity and said that. Holy crap.
Like they knew it'd be unpopular.
Yeah. They did.
I think they knew what they were walking into. They knew definitely what they were walking into. I got an email from Craig that is way too long. So I'm not going to read any of that on the air. Exactly like he asked.
It's okay. I'm doing a lot more reading those beforehand now. Mm. So I can assure you they're all getting read.
Yes, they are getting read. We do promise
you
that.
Unfortunately, all we can really do is give you sort of like a right on, brother. You know? You just got to believe me.
Steve writes in, says, where is split-screen gaming on the PC? He wants to hear from James on this one. It says it's been bothering him for a year, and he feels like the only person in the world who cares about this. Split-screen modes are almost always removed from PC versions of games. I want to know why this is. It makes no sense to me. If you spend man-hours coding in split-screen for the console versions, why would you remove all that hard work on the PC version? Surely, if a console can run two viewpoints of the game world, a PC can. Do they just think all PC gamers are lonely nerds? I have friends over who would love to play Left 4 Dead, Borderlands, Resident Evil 5, and many others with me, but alas, we cannot. We've got gamepads, we've got USB ports, what the fuck gives? Of the 100-plus games I have purchased from Steam, only one offers local two-player split-screen, and that is Overlord. At least Codemasters has some sense.
The answer is simple. Is that it is historically, PCs are very... they're personal. They're very literally personal. It's smaller screens designed to provide you with a similar aspect ratio, but in a smaller space. The whole thing is directed at a single user. Traditionally, the hardware wasn't necessarily set up in such a way that that would be good. Like,
right, it's only been recently that gamepads have become kind of ubiquitous.
USB gamepads in particular. Right. Well, I guess I don't want to say USB is recent, but
right.
Looking back to something like late 90s, early 2000s, you know, a lot of people were still using like serial controller plugins and stuff, and it was that would be weird. And sometimes Windows didn't know what the fuck to do with multiple controllers, mm-hmm. necessarily. And it just, I can imagine it not being a real thing. All, you know, monitors were small. It was rare that TVs were big. We hadn't moved into LCDs, so the really big sizes of televisions hadn't even taken off. I mean, everything was still largely tube-oriented, if it wasn't projection-oriented. So you certainly didn't have, like, really big displays on a PC. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Jesus Christ, you know, a 19-inch CRT mm-hmm. on a PC was big fucking CRT.
Right, right.
But still not enough real estate to necessarily justify split-screen. So I guess it's tradition. It may seem kind of hokey, but I think that's what it is.
But you have the situation today where many of us are hooking them up to our, you know, 46-inch or larger televisions.
Which are equally up to the task of being computer monitors as computer monitors mm-hmm. are.
Or you can have a bunch of wireless or USB game pads.
Yes.
You know.
That would be actually a very interesting thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth pointing out that I think only recently is that the case, and is it really worth re-examining this? So I would say that that's an extremely valid thing to yeah. sort of wonder about. It's like, okay, the technology is...
I think we're in a really good position now to
yeah.
to start including a lot of split-screen stuff in the PC games.
I still don't think the uptake would necessarily be that good, but more and more
probably
people are
not,
plugging their PCs directly into their...
Yeah.
Into their, you know, large-format monitors, mm-hmm. so... why not? More people are interested in a situation where they can compute from their couch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a good question. It just hasn't been an issue for most people in a very long time or ever, really.
Anthony Baxter writes in. He hooked us up with Google Wave invites. Did you guys get any
no.
more?
No, there was a Google Wave invite, and you used it.
Yeah, well, he's gotten more, and I said send it to these two guys.
Okay. Oh, no, I didn't.
But apparently it takes a few weeks to go through. Once you he like sends that invite, says, here, send an invite to these two guys, and said apparently it takes a little while.
Check my Gmail. Yeah, I didn't notice it earlier today, but also I kind of skimmed.
Okay.
I'll be on the lookout, though.
Well, he also had a question that he wrote in on that. Yeah. Was he was thinking about moral choices in video games, and he think he figured out why they don't usually work. I think it's because there are no true consequences for the decisions we make. Infamous, for instance, since it's on my mind, has moral choice moments, but the only consequences is moving you toward blue lightning or red lightning. When we decide to be assholes or angels on a daily basis, we make these decisions based on the potential consequences. I could give someone a ride home, but I might get raped and my friend needs a few hundred to pay his bills. But I really want that fucking jacket. If moral choices in the game weren't so cosmetic, I think they would work better. If sacrifice was part of the game, I think the choices could be much more varied.
I'll tell you, I don't want to say it's a cheap way to it, but without having to make... without making the decisions necessarily complex, if the story would at least branch somewhat, if what I actually did was different, if there were whole levels that I could only access by being a cocksucker.
Yeah.
Like... If the game ceased to be the same game past a certain point, and if it branched to any degree, that would be excellent. Clearly, that's not worth the development dollar. We get a lot of voice acting, we get a lot of scripting, but you don't get a lot of fundamentally different stuff. I don't go to like entirely different planets that are only for people who are assholes to the flower girl or something, you know. But that would be really nice, you know, if I went to those planets for being that guy.
Yeah.
If basically the story just took me different places, mm-hmm. if that was my reward, seeing shit that could not be seen by other people, that would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of exclusivity is something that people seem to be afraid of. It's like all people need to be able to experience all things. Well, then what's the fucking point? Like, what's the fucking point of going through it again?
Yeah. And that kind of negates paid-for DLC, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Depends on what it is.
Well, I mean, if you take that viewpoint of everybody needs to see everything...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Then, yeah.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly.
But that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. That always... That sort of tails into another thing, and this may not even be what he necessarily wanted. I just think it's an interesting way. You make a choice. Do you go to... what the fuck do you do? Do you go to Dagobah or do you go to Cloud City? You know, like, you can't go to both. You clearly cannot go to both of them, or at least not at the same time or in the same point in the story. You know, you got to go somewhere from Hoth, you know. You want to be a Jedi, you want to be a smuggler, you know. Like, and you go in different directions and you cannot have the same story. That would be really, really good. That's how you build greater value. But there's just this thing where everybody needs to be able to experience everything in one pass, or else there's some sort of angst about it. And I don't really like that. That's the trend. I don't care for it.
I do kind of wonder though if it is just you experience everything at once, because it's essentially what you're talking about is kind of having almost two completely different games.
Yeah.
Together, which I like. I really like. But I wonder if that's kind of a...
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, I know why they don't do it.
Yeah.
Because they're cheap fucks and their budgets are too large. And they don't... Their shit's too expensive. You know, pound for pound isn't what it was. So, you know, whatever. I would think, personally, that a shorter game with more distinct variations and genuine, very real branching would be far more interesting than an epic campaign where, you know, the way I budget my time just isn't what it used mm-hmm. to be, so I want it all in one pass. I don't know. Those things are related to me. Probably not related to what he was asking, but I just think that doesn't require an enormous amount of research. It's a simple answer to, what do I get now? I get some slightly different dialogue options, you know? Like, my mouse walks around on 4 feet instead of two, you know, in Epic Mickey. Like, that's my difference, you know? Like, I'm an asshole mouse, and I frown, fuck that shit. Like, give me some, like, genuine meat. And it's meat that you're already providing. You just need to, like, I don't know, just be comfortable with the fact that if you're going to put that in there, give me something that I can't do somewhere else. I'm sure I'm missing a great example of how that works, but that's what I
Every example I'm thinking of is on the opposite end of how it's never worked.
Yeah. No, it I mean, I know it has in places, but, like, I want to say, and see, here's another problem, is that whether they want to do it or not, and this is actually a problem I'm having in Dragon Age, whether they really... I think there's good evidence that developers are either incapable or unwilling to provide you with genuine choices because they fucking punish you for being an asshole. Like it's somehow... Like, they would somehow be enabling the worst part of the player's psyche if they didn't punish you.
Yeah.
The reward system in these games, in a game like Dragon Age, is more conversation, or more experience, or more money, or more loot, or more of all these things. More is the reward system. When I'm a dick, I get less. It may be funny, but when I'm a dick, I don't get as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get to talk the bad guy out of some money. I don't get to run him through a bunch of different intimidation or persuasion scenarios, which always result in more experience. I just get to stick a knife in his face, which is kind of funny, but boom, that's it. Full stop. The encounter has ended, and the possibility of it bearing fruit by manipulating it is gone. And I'm not saying that some of the intimidation can't be bad guy stuff, but ultimately, if you're a dick, the people you're dealing with just don't want to deal with you anymore. So it's over. It's done. The conversation ends. And the only thing that changes if you're good is that the conversation goes on a little while longer and you have the chance of getting something a little more out of it. At the very least, hearing some of the dialogue. And sometimes that's a scant reward, but it's the only reward. Which is why I have a problem being an asshole. I feel like things are being kept from me. And yeah. I don't feel like it's necessarily a natural adjustment. A natural adjustment would be, I am an asshole, so there are people who will only be a part of my crew if I'm a total asshole. That's pretty good, and that's been done, even by BioWare. And they kind of do it by, like, you know, if I'm not a cocksucker, then Morrigan won't sleep with me. It's fucking true. A bitch is great to have in your party, but every time you help somebody, she's an asshole. She gets angry that you're helping people find their stuff. And I try to explain to this bitch that if I help this guy find his whatever that he lost, then he's going to tell me where the thing is. And with that thing, I can establish a rapport with this guy who's going to introduce me to this motherfucker. Some stuff opens up, and then all of a sudden, the humans are on my side. Why don't you think 12 steps ahead, bitch, instead of wanting to light everybody on fire? But I want her to sleep with me. So every now and then I have to, like, you know... I have to neener the little kid who's crying about his lost mom just to make up a little bit of lost ground with her. And then the old bitch from the tower gets all sour on my ass. I fucking hate these assholes. Fuck them. Because there really is no reward going strong one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But if there is a reward at all, it's going good. Is this something that personally pisses me off? Is that even now, there's a punitive foot on your neck anytime you go evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Well, you had the joy of ripping off, like, a really mean statement and making somebody walk away. Well, in the scheme of things, how is that a reward? You know? I don't like it. So we should start from there. Just give me a genuine reward structure.
Yeah,
so something better than Red Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, we've had those discussions before, you and I have, about... Where, you know, oh, I thought I should take the good path because apparently they give you more when you go that way.
It's almost always the case.
Yeah. With the exception, I think, of maybe Overlord.
Yeah, but see, Overlord's a little bit of an.
I know.
The evil path is the good path.
Yeah. It's like evil, really evil. Chris writes in and says, just wanted to add that I'm also really impressed with how Dragon Age controls on the 360. And a minor correction. It is possible to queue commands for multiple party members without pausing or unpausing the game. Just make sure to keep the left trigger held down while you cycle through your party members using the bumpers. For each member, you can select a single action for them to perform, like a spell or a skill. The actions will be performed once you release the left trigger. As far as I know, you can't queue up multiple actions, though.
Yeah, you can only queue up one action on the PC. So, I know that's as deep as the queue goes, which is a little frustrating. Although, you can kind of cheat. Like, I can tell somebody to attack somebody, but then give them... I can queue an attack move, but then tell them to move. Like, basically then, like, have them move, click on the ground so they move into backstab position or something like that, and they'll do it. But for the most part, yeah, you're queuing one thing. But that's fine.
Mm.
That's okay. I just had read so much about how people would pause the game, queue an action for the character they were on, and then it would automatically unpause. So I guess holding
the left trigger, as far as the console, yeah, the console.
Okay, that's good. If it's there, then that's great. Because otherwise, that would seem to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I watched how you played on the PC, and I just thought, I think this works better here. Of course, it's different for me, but you know.
Works really well on
people PC. who love that game are finding the ways to get past whatever kind of hang-ups they may have playing it on a console. They'll still take it. It's
very few hang-ups overall. Yeah. I think.
All right, time for the voicemails. So get set up and go to our first one.
Promotion. Hey, it's Drag Zero Con. Yeah, Scott. I love that line for Modern Warfare 2. It's fantastic. Yes, so on Modern Warfare 2, I know you guys kind of went over the stuff last episode, and maybe I'm skipping one in between, but my only real beef with this game, I love it, it's fantastic, on the 360, I hate the whole PC, what they did to it, I'm not going to get into that, because James already covered that. Real quick though, the AI in the single player, I want to kill myself, it either goes from super easy stormtroopers who can't shoot you to save their life, two guys sniping me hundreds of feet away with a shotgun in the head and ignoring all my buddies. And there doesn't seem to be any middle ground. I've heard that the veteran is a lot easier now, but normal mode is way harder than it should be. And I had to drop myself down to easy before I almost threw my controller. And I've never thrown a controller before, so I don't know. Discuss. Oh, yeah,
it's
Zero, if I didn't mention that. Take it easy, guys. Keep up the great work. Later.
Yeah, I kind of agree with his comment on the AI.
Proper nomenclature is damn it, Slam, by the way.
Yes. We coined it, it's ours. Yeah, I agree with the AI situations. I remember talking to you about that I had some run-ins where the guys I were with, the team, I guess, the other two people I was with in the scenario would not move because they were shooting one last guy way down there at the bottom of the hill. They would not continue. They just stood there. And I was like, come on, guys, let's go this way. And they're just like, bang, 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 bang. Couldn't shoot the guy. They couldn't take him out. So I was like, oh, fine, boom, let's go. You know, one of those situations or scenarios. So, and also the other thing was, and we talked about this a little bit. In the first one, this was a very big difference. In the first one, you had checkpoints. It's like, you got to get over there. You know, 100 yards away, whatever the case. And I could run over there and do that. In this one, there were way more situations where it was, follow this guy. Wasn't an escort mission to say, but it was just
don't
like...
Don't proceed to the checkpoint.
Yeah, you
follow
just had
this
to...
this asshole who's really slow, by the way.
Yeah. You have to follow this guy. And I wanted to... I'm like, no, let's go. Let's fucking go. But no, dude wants to hang around. And didn't really know where to go. You don't know where to go because you've got to follow, you know... the guy behind you who's not moving anywhere, you know, who's taking care of his own shit, but is like, you know, wandering over here, going into a house, doing this, whatever, waiting for you to shoot this one other guy left who he can't move because, you know, he's being pinned down by some gunfire he could easily evade or shoot the motherfucker, but wouldn't do that. So, yeah, it was a big drastic difference from one to two. In a lot of ways. I mean, they also took out the constant respawns of enemies in 2, which I thought would be cool, but no.
No, they just basically spawn them all at once.
Yeah, instead
all,
of...
All infinite guys respawn simultaneously. And then once you die, they walk up to you and hand you a script for Hamlet. I know they're not monkeys, but... Well, I'm telling jokes that nobody in the studio feels like getting, I suppose.
A thousand monkeys with a thousand times.
No, it's not a thousand. It's infinite. They have to be
infinite.
Okay,
infinite.
A thousand monkeys wouldn't do anything but shit inside the typewriter. it's infinite. That's the point. It's a discussion of on the infinite. You don't understand. You should have even known what the circle was, for God's sake.
He's
never even seen the motherfucker. You know. He's not white, so. I don't even know what that means.
Me neither.
Yeah, it was the thing. It's a thing from last week when I was talking about a Coen Brothers movie. And it was like it's a Hudsucker proxy. Like, that's a white ass movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just saying, it's an extremely white ass movie. So I just went for the easy laugh. It's okay.
Okay. Moving right along.
I'm doing that all the time.
All right, next call. Here we go. Play.
IGC, what's up, fellas? Hey, I left you a little note, man. I gotta get you guys to do a little research on that Tony Hawk ride thing, man. You know, like, me being on both ends of it, I actually ride skateboards, and plus I love the game, so I'm just saying, maybe I'll rent this thing and I'll give you guys a nice good review if you don't get around to it, but I just wanted you fellas to acknowledge it. Have fun. Chat at you later, and we need more Borderlands, guys.
I've already told him, but you're the only guy, like, with Borderlands on the 360 anymore. And, how the fuck are you going to rent Tony Hawk Ride?
I don't know how he's going to do that.
I mean, I'm assuming it controls, it works, does it work without the board?
I have no idea.
If you can rent it, it must.
I don't know if you can imagine. Like,
I went to Gamefly, and you cannot rent that.
Yeah, okay. He's going to have to, well, clearly, Kevin, you need to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can justify that.
I was telling James,
little,
I was like,
little kid in the house.
None of us here are going to be biting that bullet.
No.
Nope.
That's totally a Kevin thing there, man. If anybody's going to talk about it, it's going to have to
Yeah,
be.
I might have bitten the bullet on DJ Hero if I was going to be doing any of these two, but yeah, no, Ride's not my thing. And it is Kevin. It's Kevin's all the way, so he's just going to have to do that if he wants to know how well that thing
Who
plays.
Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that.
He sounds like he might.
No, he wants to know about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't really want to, like, pull the trigger on a purchase. Nobody does. I'm telling you, they have attached what is apparently a very interesting piece of technology to a shitty game.
Mm-hmm.
You've hitched it to the wrong horse. That's the peripheral for the Back to the Future 2 game.
The hoverboard game.
How stupid do you have to be to think that that thing has anything to do with skateboarding? That's a Back to the Future game peripheral. It's so fucking obvious. That and a 240 hertz TV, 240 megahertz TV for 3D.
Oh, that's right. No.
Which is apparently what everybody says I have to buy. That's weird.
A 240?
Everybody's talking about 240s for the best. I don't fucking know, dude. There's too much to read.
I don't.
Fuck it all.
That.
I'm buying a 60. I don't give a shit. I'm fuck it. I'm buying a 60. That shit's so goddamn cheap. But whatever. I'm shopping TVs. You don't need to know that.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the feedback. Movie time?
Don't even bother. Don't even. Like, I mean, you know what it is. You know what it is. This fun stuff's going to happen in between incredibly stupid stuff. But the problem is it's so long that if you took out all of the fun stuff, every bit of it, everything interesting to look at, there'd still be 2 fucking hours of boring shit. It's 2 hours of John Cusack flushing his fucking career down the toilet. Reminding you of the fact that the man used to be able to do phenomenally interesting work. And anymore, all he can do is jackass around with a couple of stupid fucking kids. Because that's what everything is about anymore. Like, the world is ending. Meanwhile, cell phones are fine. You know?
Yep.
Like, whatever, like the clock starts ticking away and we're somewhere up in the 4 billions of people dead, but we're still going to stop and have like a human family moment. Why don't you fuck off and die while me and the rest of the, you know, people motivated along Darwinian lines just get inside the giant shipboat thing and close the fucking door.
The giant shipboat thing.
We'll leave you outside to talk about, you know, moral relativism. I'll be inside snacking on the dry goods. Whatever, not dying in a flood. How about that shit?
Yeah, that was
a fucking stupid-ass movie. Just, the boat's designed to have, like, a mountain crash into it, but a girder fell from the ceiling and now the whole thing's ruined and we can't use it? Fuck off. You don't outrun pyroclastic flows in a Winnebago. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can't.
They're not
really
slow or anything.
Even the heat or whatever from the cloud, from that smoke or whatever coming out of the volcano thing, it engulfs the plane, which would have completely melted that shit.
It wouldn't have done it any favors.
No, but
it's all
which, you know,
up.
I don't know. It's
they weren't even trying, man. They weren't even trying.
It's hard to critique a movie with
like,
that much.
It's
absurdity,
almost like,
you know?
That movie was upset that it had to include any of the over the top effects, which make it fun. That movie was actually pissed the fuck off that it had to devote anything other than John Cusack and like his lame ass family talking to each other. Like, it's almost like it didn't want the excitement. It was annoyed that it had to include any of that shit. That's why it was so fucking long. The interesting stuff wasn't that long. It's just that, well, any amount of time that the fun effects took up, we have to replace with pointless campground bullshit. Hey, let's like sneak over this fence in Yellowstone National Park. Well, it's a national park. There's not supposed to be a fence here. So forget the fact that this noxious cloud creeping out of the lake bed melted this deer. Let's walk through it anyway. Yeah,
I love that shot where the kids are just,
there's a family
through
moment for you. If you're so goddamn concerned about your family, why did you walk them through a deer melting cloud? Your kids are made of the same stuff that deers are made of. You think about that. What the fuck is your problem? Whatever. I'm just saying. It's really stupid.
It is. It's a bad, bad movie, which is
it's
why
really
you should
horrible
go see this.
I just took it out on my popcorn. I ate that popcorn. I was real angry about it.
That's the first time I finished a large popcorn
yeah
before.
I just ate my popcorn angry. I was like, God, it's corn. It's mad. God. Pissing me off. I was real upset. I just did not like that movie at all. And then, like, I don't even know why we go to a theater anymore. Because, like,
does he stupid
there was,
shit
like there was, like, 40 seconds of quiet in the entire movie. And during this 40 seconds, some fucking dickwad.
Was it not the same group that was buying concessions in front of you?
I don't know.
Let's make it that it is.
Sure,
they
whatever
were just as annoying.
Like, some dickwad is, like, talking on his phone, right? Because, of course he is, because you're in a theater. And so Mike just basically screams at the top of his lungs to tell the moron to quit talking on his fucking phone. You know, so you just do that. Like, you take it to this whole place. Now the whole movie is about Mike yelling at this guy to get off his fucking phone.
I went up to get a refill at that. At that particular time, I knew it was coming. I just thought, good a time as any.
But whatever, he scared him off, so.
Yeah.
He didn't come back. That was fun. A piece of shit. I mean, obviously it's a piece of shit, but whatever. That's why, like, Dana wasn't there. That's whatever. It was, we knew it was a piece of shit.
Oh, we knew. Yeah.
So I'm just going to go eat popcorn.
Yeah, we weren't going to this for, like, boy, I wonder what happens.
No. Regardless, I was still pretty, like, flabbergasted by how badly it was done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like I'm supposed to believe it's a touching moment when, like, old boy in India is, like, climbing up the foot of the Himalayas and, like, this, you know, 9,000-foot wave is about to crash down and destroy his family. And he's still on his cell phone. Mind you, the Earth's crust, the entirety of the Earth's crust has already shifted some 1,500 miles to the southwest. Okay? Every point of possible tectonic or volcanic failure on Earth has erupted or sundered simultaneously. But cell phone service is at its fucking peak. The Earth is bombarded by some sort of mystical subatomic particle that suddenly sounds like a neutron, but has apparently started to, like, interact with things all over the fucking place, but has not disrupted anything on the face of the Earth. You know, it apparently melted the Earth's core, which I thought it had already done a good job of that itself. And then it was all weird, you know, and stuff moved around.
We had a tornado, what, 2 years ago?
Did you say there was something about a subcrust?
Yeah, the subcrust melted. I was taught a different name for the subcrust. I thought that was like the mantle. I thought that the fact that liquid, that stuff, oozed up out of volcanoes and shit all the time meant that it was already fucking melted. But whatever.
Yeah, well, Hollywood's here to teach you.
Yeah, they are. They're real good about that. And so now I have to suffer the inevitable, like, History Channel and Discovery Channel is constantly about stuff spinning off of this thing. And it's like, oh my fucking God. Like, for real? Like, can you just play more Dirty Jobs? Do I have to fucking watch this?
Just give me Dirty Jobs and Mythbusters and it's cool.
Yeah, but the other guys. Fuck them. Fucking scraping off all the good Mythbusters shit onto those three clowns. They suck. Yes. The only thing any of them could possibly do is the girl could take her clothes off. It's the only thing I can think for them to do that would be interesting.
Myth busted. Yeah, and that shows heyday.
I have a myth I'd like to test. Is she really pregnant? Take that fucking sundress off and let me see. I can't stand that show. It's like, it's whatever, Adam and Jamie phone it in. Constantly. And I just like, whatever. I mean, it's cool, you know, when you get big enough.
Yeah, and that shows Hedy, it was just those two guys doing all that shit.
Once they brought in all the other people and gave them their own segments, it became crap.
Yeah. We've gotten too good for this. Let's give it, you know. Yeah. We got other things to
Mike
do.
Mike Rodin pawned a shit
off.
One
guy just
people,
wants to build a robot for everything.
Yeah, he does. His robots suck, too. It's a chain-driven armature that doesn't do anything but smash something. Like, I'm sorry, Jamie built a Coke machine that, like, has, like, tank treads and launches cans and stuff. Until you can do better, my friend. You shouldn't be allowed to speak.
You have a robot that will spew shrapnel into the audience watching.
Yeah, 2012 sucked.
So to recap, 2012 is shit.
All right.
All right, that's it. That's your show. So we'll be back early next week to do one for the holidays. So, and we got lots of stuff to play this weekend.
Yeah, we do. Look up Left 4 Dead. We'll be online.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.